America, there's a rule against alcoholic beverages. Infraternities on probation.
Say, how about joining me and my friend over there? Come on, join us in a beer, okay?
Get me another beer, Dragon Lady.
It was the greatest beer in all the world.
Just drink the fucking beer, and you'll get the hang of it.
Listen, they want us to pay for the beer we drink. You guys better split.
Why don't you just buy me a beer?
Hey, you want some help with that beer, kid?
I have respect for beer.
Save one of those beers for me, eh?
You want some of this milk?
Rather have a beer.
You want a beer, pal?
What do you drink?
We got this non-alcoholic shit.
What's that?
Like a non-alcoholic beer. It's got no alcohol.
It's a beer?
Yeah, with no alcohol.
But you drink enough, and if you drink a lot, they get you fucked up.
No, there's no alcohol. That's the fucking point.
Can't imagine ever not enjoying getting fucked up.
Yeah.
I love it. Rather being sober.
Fuck, it sucks. And just like the movies, we play out on the last scene. You won't cry, I won't scream.
Hey everybody, it's Dustin.
And it's Seth.
And we are drunk
at the movies,
brought to you by Bearded Owl Brewing in Peoria, Illinois, down on State Street, down by the water.
Down on the waterfront.
Yes, we were just there yesterday, actually. I had to get these growlers filled up, and my lovely girlfriend Brianna and I stopped by. I had a flight of some upcoming beers that we will probably be featuring on some episodes, but I got a little sneak peek.
I thought you were going to say lovely co-host, and I was excited for a moment.
You weren't there.
That's true. I was confused and excited simultaneously.
I sent you a picture and said, hey, look where I am, and we put it on social media, but you were busy doing other things.
I had a video gig, and yeah. I had to go work for a living.
Yeah, he doesn't just do our trailers that you get to see every week. He does other things.
I do.
So
now, I'm excited about this growler you picked up, because this smells amazing.
Yeah, the beer we're drinking is very appropriate for the movie we are featuring. As we did last week, this is a 2-week celebration of Seth's birth month. There's too many PHs and THs there.
You make my name sound very lispy.
My PH levels were off. No, we're celebrating Seth's birth month of December of 1980. Last week, we did Flash Gordon.
Which was a blast.
Yes, that was a lot of fun. And now we've got released on December 19th, 1980, Academy Award-winning movie and one of the most well-regarded movies of all time.
Yeah, I believe that AFI listed it as the most well-edited movie.
I love that American band, cinema. But I had no idea they were such film fans.
Oh, yeah, dude, they do it 100 greatest films lists all the time.
That's crazy. Like, Davey Havoc, who knew?
He's a cinephile.
So, we are watching Raging Bull, the story of Jake LaMotta. And when you're watching a movie about a boxer, and your brewery sponsor just happens to have a beer named Mike Tyson's Voice.
Get off your ass, pigeon, just like the old song say. Ain't got no time for bird sex, gotta fly. Ain't got no time for bird sex, I wanna fly.
Okay, that can't be a song.
It'd be ludicrous not to drink this beer.
No wonder you were lisping my name.
I know, I was practicing for when I was going to introduce the beer.
I don't know why I was Vinnie Barbarino. I sounded nothing like Mike Tyson.
Up your nose with a rubber hose.
Yeah.
You know, they're both from the streets of New York.
What? Where?
I loved Welcome Back, Kotter.
Oh, yeah.
I actually have season one on DVD over there. That is a surprise to no one in this room, I'm sure. So, what we are going to do is we're going to crack open our growler of Mike Tyson's Voice and enjoy it. We're going to tell you a little bit about it. It's a stout. It's 5.5%, and it looks like it packs a punch, but instead you are rewarded with a lighter chocolate and cocoa nutty take on a stout. Iron Mike would approve. Maybe. It's very easy drinking. It's got a flavor profile of chocolate, coconut, creamy, light, and smooth. Just like Mike Tyson's Voice.
I don't know if I've ever been more excited for a beer. I'm really having to hold the temptation to not drink until the movie starts, which I always try to do.
Well, we're gonna start tasting it now while we let you guys hear our opening credits song, which is from a band called One Bad Son. So, One Bad Son has a new album called Made in the Name of Rock and Roll, and it's a title that says it all in terms of what originally brought the band together over 13 years ago. The lead single, Raging Bull, which you are about to hear, spent 4 weeks atop the Canadian mainstream rock charts. But it's merely a taste of what One Bad Son and producer Gavin Brown, who has worked with such bands that I love as Billy Talent and Metric, and they did a whole album full of arena-ready guitars and choruses. So we're going to let you hear a little One Bad Son here with Raging Bull here on Drunk at the Movies. And that was Raging Bull from One Bad Son. Hope you guys enjoyed that. And hopefully you guys dug out your copy of Raging Bull on DVD or pulled it up on your favorite streaming downloadable movie website of choice. I don't know where you get these things. I know where I get them, and that's from my DVD shelf, which is this whole room. So,
traditionalist.
Yeah, you know, I'm old school. And hit play in 3, 2, 1. All right, the DVD menu button has been pressed, and now we are going. MGM, the Roaring Lion. I always think of Wizard of Oz when I see that.
Yep.
It's just like an automatic reflex.
Yep, I think we talked about that in a previous MGM film. Dark Side of the Moon should be playing. And now I just think of James Bond when I see United Artists.
See, I was kind of late to the party with James Bond movies. I think the first one I saw was... Tomorrow Never Comes?
Tomorrow Never Dies.
That's it.
It's not a great movie.
Yeah, Denise Richards and Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah. Oh, wait, that's The World Is Not Enough.
See, I didn't even bother paying attention which one I saw.
Well, it's easy to confuse James Bond titles because they all sound very similar. Unless they either mention gold or a previous day. Unless it's called Octopussy. That's the one that
everybody
stands on its own.
So here are the credits. We've got Jake dancing around the ring in slow-mo.
I'm having my first sip of beer to the credits.
Yeah, the movie is black and white, which Some movies are made in black and white because it's cheaper. This was a stylistic choice. I guess apparently Jake LaMotta is quoted as saying when he was like working on the book or something, he was like replaying his life in his head and he just always pictured it as a black and white movie.
Yeah.
And he wasn't sure why. Probably for being hit in the head too many times that his color palette.
He probably saw in black and white, and like actually visualized everything that way. And Scorsese also said that he wanted this shot in black and white because it's kind of a period piece. He wanted to have the feel of a period piece, and he wanted to separate it from Rocky, which was very big at this time as well, and a very different movie.
Second black and white movie we have watched in the past 2 months.
And actually, he drew a lot of inspiration from Hitchcock.
Because of the chocolate syrup?
The chocolate syrup is one, but also the boxing scene, the one that LaMotta famously loses, he used the storyboard for the shower scene in Psycho as the inspiration.
Okay.
And if you pay close attention to it, you can see the edits are very similar to her being stabbed in the shower.
Interesting. So we got some camera flashbulbs going off. That's actually one guy doing all of them. He's dressed up in a black bodysuit and running around to different points in the room doing the flash. It's very smoky in there, so you can't even see where it's coming from.
And the flashbulb sound effect that you hear throughout the movie is actually gunshots. The sound designer used gunshots for the flashbulbs, and they used certain melons and tomatoes
For the punch.
For the punching sound effects.
Well, this movie won 2 Academy Awards. Of course, De Niro won for Best Actor, and the editing, the editor, Thelma Schoonmaker, won for that. And like literally everybody else in the movie was nominated. Pesci was nominated for Best Supporting Actor. Kathy Moriarty for Best Supporting Actress. Martin for Best Director. Mm-hmm. The sound effects and all that, those were nominated. So it was a very successful movie for sure.
Which is why I think they all have such a close relationship to this day, because De Niro was really the person. This was kind of his passion project. Mm-hmm. He really pushed for this movie once he read the book.
I guess Martin was in rehab for his cocaine addiction, and this was the movie that he kind of talked him into doing, and some people believe it probably saved Scorsese's life.
Yeah.
So nice work, Robert.
Yeah, De Niro convinced him to do the movie, and Scorsese was resistant to it. And then once he finally did it, he said it was going to be his last film. He just wasn't really feeling it anymore. He was suffering from depression.
A reboot.
And then he said it instead signaled a rebirth for his passion for film because he loved the movie so much.
Well, him and De Niro had worked together in his two previous films. Now, he did The Last Waltz, which was a documentary about the band, but his two movies before that was New York, New York, and before that Taxi Driver, in which De Niro is in both of them. And this is a very unrecognizable De Niro. There's a little more recognizable.
Now,
we're going to talk about the method acting.
We're going to talk about we just saw a repeat.
Oh, did we?
We just missed the first one.
We got the drinking game going on.
So I'll take a drink real quick and then explain why. So it's one of De Niro's acting bag of tricks is he repeats himself, and that's a commonly done thing when people are doing Robert De Niro impressions on like SNL and that kind of thing. But if you really pay attention, it's not just he did it in Taxi Driver when you said, are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Like, he does it a lot. He repeats himself.
You made a whole short little video.
I did.
Yeah.
I made a YouTube video called De Niro De Niro that just features about 3 minutes of Robert De Niro repeating himself in various movies. And what I realized in doing the research for all these De Niro repetitions is that there's almost a mathematical equation to it. Like, he repeats it and then repeats it again with about 25% intensity.
Yeah.
And then if
I got nipples, Greg, can you milk me? Can you milk me?
Yeah, it goes up a little bit.
I don't think he says that.
If he does a third one, then he'll,
can you milk me?
Right. It increases even more. So
I just kind of
compounds exponentially.
I think I just did a little Return of the Dragon there. It was like, can you dig it?
And there is a line in Casino where he says, can I trust you? And that's a good example. Mm-hmm. He's like, can I trust you? Can I trust you? Can I trust you? And like always intensifies a little bit. So we had him saying, that's entertainment. And then that's entertainment for the first one.
That's his catchphrase in the,
and then, by the way,
in the older years,
19 of these.
Yeah.
In this movie alone. He repeats himself 19 times at least once.
So that's going to be your premier drinking game rule. Another one, I'm not doing it for this movie because it would be bad news for everybody if you drank every time the word fuck is said, because I think it's like over 140 times.
Yeah, that's a rough one for this one.
That's not a good one for this movie. So what we'll do is anytime somebody is knocked to the mat in a boxing match, because there's not going to be a lot of dialogue in those.
Yeah.
So, yeah, anytime Jake knocks an opponent to the mat, that'll be a drink. And what do you think? Anytime there's some sort of domestic abuse?
Ooh, it's hard to drink to domestic abuse. At the same time, sometimes you need to drink to deal with domestic abuse.
I think that's more what I was going for. As I said yesterday, when I was watching this with Brianna, I'm like, if we ever start to feel bad about our relationship, all we need to do is watch this movie and be like, yeah, I think we're doing well.
Raging Bull Leaving Las Vegas double feature will make you feel way better about your love life.
That's like a marathon of Black Mirror.
Yeah.
You need a day off of work if you do that. This is insanity, because he lost the match by decision.
Yeah.
The guy was unable to continue in the final round, and there is a riot. And this poor woman's being trampled.
Now, believe it or not, Martin Scorsese does not really like violence. He thinks that violent portrayals in film are, you know, artistic, but he doesn't like real life violence. He actually rather detests boxing and wanted to make this movie to reflect how truly
thrown out.
Yeah. Does a backflip, essentially.
I was waiting for like a Wilhelm scream, you know. Here we go.
Or Tom Cruise screaming from The Mummy. Just throw that in everything from now on.
So this guy, Frank Vincent, is his name. He's always in these movies too.
Yeah.
Especially with Pesci. They had like a duo act or something.
They had a singing act, I believe it even was.
Okay.
And Pesci was about to go do that with him again full time before he got this role, because his acting career wasn't really going anywhere at the time. This was his first big movie.
Yeah. And this guy, he's got one of those faces. You've seen him in anything that deals with mobsters or old Italian men. He's in it.
He's just got the face and the voice for it.
Yeah.
Oh, we got another repeat coming up here. I believe it's when he says, bring it over. Okay. He's talking about the steak. And you can listen. You can hear for it. You can bring it over. Bring it over.
The people know. You don't believe me. You thought I was over there fooling around. Huh? You thought I was fooling around, didn't you? Tell me the truth.
That was kind of a repeat.
Yeah.
That's in your mind.
Yeah, so what?
That championship belt on me. That's when I fooled him out.
He fucks his belt?
That makes no sense.
Is it done?
No, it's not done.
Now she's repeating.
Don't overcook it. You overcook it.
It's addictive.
Yeah.
It defeats its own purpose.
There is nothing worse than an overcooked steak.
Yeah.
I'm with him on this one.
I'd flip a table.
You're overcooking it. Bring it over.
Want your steak?
Bring it over.
Here we go.
Bring it over. It's like a piece of charcoal. Bring it over here.
There we go.
You want your steak?
About
25%.
Good. There's your steak. Can't wait. Done?
No, I can't wait.
Good. Okay.
I'm very excited to eat this meal for which you have prepared.
I just did it again. That's all I want. That's all I want.
You bought me by a steak?
Yeah.
I agree with you. We should be with Tommy.
They have to be able to hear this, right?
I would think.
But this Joey Tommy tells me every day.
Then again, the streets of New York, there's 5 other domestic abuses happening right now that are drowning out the sound.
Everybody's yelling in this movie.
You're his brother, if you can't talk.
A lot of yelling and punching.
Fucking and fighting.
Yeah, talking about fucking. Well, there's a little bit of actual fucking, kind of, sort of.
There's a lot of allusions to it.
Yes, it's referenced many times.
And sucking.
Yes. I like how the finger went up in this and sucking kind of way.
I want to hear
you call those carrots.
You call those carrots. I'm going to keep that one in the memory bank for a future dinner.
I got no choice.
There we go.
Do we even know where her name is?
That's a fourth one.
Or is it just wife number one?
You know, I think it's just wife number one. Those were 3 repetitions I didn't even have marked down.
Oh,
so there's like
Lord.
22 in
You're
this
slacking.
Movie, at least.
Son of a bitch is calling me an animal. Hey, you!
Come on, Jack.
I'm going to get over that dog, and I'm going to eat it for lunch.
Because I just ruined my own steak.
But I won't overcook it.
Harry!
Who's an animal? Your mother's an animal, you son of a bitch!
Oh, so yeah, she's a female dog then.
Okay.
So that works. It checks out.
He is repeating himself.
You break anything in there, I'm gonna kill you. I swear to God, I'm gonna come in there and I'm gonna kill you.
And sometimes he throws in a "I swear to God" and then does the repetition.
Now, do you think it's written in the script that way, or do you think that's just something he does to embellish? It happened so many times. They're like, okay, that's just his thing. We'll just go with it.
I've thought about this a lot, and I really do think that it's been written into his scripts when he's attached to a project.
I've never
working
looked,
on it.
Looked up a screenplay or anything to, you know, compare it line for line, but I figured if anybody has, it'd be you.
And Scorsese, he trusted De Niro a lot. That's why he kept working with him. Mm-hmm. You know, De Niro was his first DiCaprio, and he would let him improvise as much as he wanted on set. Reportedly, Kathy Moriarty and De Niro's first scene in this movie, when they meet each other by the chain link fence, mm-hmm. was completely improvised.
Yeah, I read that too.
So, but he also, you know, Taxi Driver, he let De Niro kind of go crazy with, you know, "Are you talking to me?" That was De Niro. That was improvised on set. And that's a case of him repeating himself. I think that this is actually how De Niro, you know, he brings it to the performance, probably does it in real life. Mm-hmm. And it's just kind of been written into his movies, I think. I don't know.
Yeah. So you said Martin worked with De Niro and then later DiCaprio.
Yeah.
Are there any male actors with a name that begins with D-A? Because he's like working his way backwards through the vowels, apparently.
Yeah. Or is he going? I think it's E and then I. So it's got to be D-O
right.
next.
D-O.
D'Onofrio. D'Onofrio. How do you pronounce his last name?
But that's Vincent. D.I. That's another D.I.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right.
I don't know. We're going to have to figure it out before Martin does to see if this is a true thing that he's doing intentionally. Yeah, IMDb's no help. I type in "do" and it pulls up Spike Lee movies. So
maybe that's a thing that a lot of directors like to work with actors with D.E. in the name repeatedly. Yeah. Because Tim Burton always works with Johnny Depp.
Right.
So maybe it's just a thing.
Apparently, this scene. Oh, we have the other F word.
Yes, the bundle of sticks.
Yes.
It'll be a real jerk when they punch in the face. Hey,
Joey, but apparently, he actually is punching him in the face.
Yeah,
is what I read.
Hey, you're a little brother, Joey. I'm telling you something. I know what you said. I ain't doing it.
I ain't doing it.
I don't care if you get mad. I ain't doing it.
And these two became close friends. They hadn't met before this movie.
Really?
Okay. They really didn't know each other, and they shared an apartment and like lived together for a little bit to really try to get to know each other and get that brotherly feel. And ever since then, obviously they've been really close.
You want me to hit you? I want you to hit me with everything you got. I want you to fucking lay me out. Go ahead. You sure?
Yeah.
All right. Hot.
Yeah?
You throw a punch, I can take it up the ass. Come on. Harder. 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 That's hard.
It's repeating.
Fuck, what do you want?
Take it off.
Ah, come on. You want to stop now? That's
I'm not going to be naked when I hit you.
Fuck around, man. Come on. Good.
I'm going to smack you again. Throw it again.
All right, now take off your jacket. All right, now take off your tie.
Ah, your fucking cuts are opening and everything.
You've been working out?
What are you trying to prove? What does it prove?
Where did the blood go?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's some there, but it's not as much.
She's like, well, at least I'm not getting hit.
She's like, I'm out of here.
Yeah,
no more of this.
So now we go to the gym. Who's that afro boxer on the wall there?
I don't know. Missed it.
Oh, you can get a rub down for a dollar, it says back there.
By these guys? Oh,
yeah,
thank you.
Right?
So Scorsese... as the movie goes on and LaMotta's career doesn't lead to success, he starts to lose. He started shooting in bigger and bigger rings to make him seem more
intimidating and smaller stature. I noticed that last night. I was like, man, that looks a lot bigger than it should. And yeah, so okay, I wasn't going
so
crazy.
That was an obvious,
yeah,
obvious choice, too obvious of a choice.
Come on.
You look like two fans.
No, they're brothers.
They're that happens incestual. When you hang out with your brother too much. Jeff and I used to get that. When you act a lot like your brother but look nothing alike, people aren't sure when they first meet you what the relationship right. is.
Well, I'm not sure if it's in this scene, tomorrow, huh? But Pesci actually got a rib cracked.
Yeah, I think that was
during a sparring session. Because there's another scene later where he's getting him like psyched up for a fight, and he's like punching him against the wall with the protector over.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought maybe that's where it happens, okay. But yeah, maybe it was in this. I don't know. They had to do an edit because he visibly got hurt.
Yeah, and De Niro trained, like actually mm-hmm. trained as a boxer. LaMotta actually taught him quite a bit, and then he trained with a younger, still in shape boxer as well, and then actually boxed three middleweight champion bouts.
Won two of them. Yeah. So
LaMotta said he would actually take on De Niro as a manager if De Niro had any interest. He said this guy could be a professional boxer if he wanted to.
Yeah. I mean, that's method acting to a whole new level.
And I know De Niro he's a hot button issue these days.
Yeah.
He's become very political, obviously. Say what you want about all of that. I will say, even with all his repeating and his bag of tricks that he goes to, he's hands down one of my favorite actors of all time. Mm-hmm. He was just phenomenal in this movie.
That looked incredibly dangerous.
Yeah.
Those kids were jumping off like the second story balcony there into a pool.
That's interesting. He ordered a Coke, but there's a Pepsi sign in the background. Pepsi product placement, but
yeah. All right, so this is where we see Kathy Moriarty for the first time, and I looked up her age, and this was her first movie,
mm-hmm.
which she still says she's never seen before in its entirety, which I don't know, I kind of call bullshit on that, but she was 17 when she was cast.
Yeah,
I know this movie, it took a little while to shoot due to De Niro weight method right. acting, but she still was under 20 at the end of shooting. She's playing a 15-year-old here, apparently, but Brianna and I both agreed she looks a lot older than that.
Yeah,
and not necessarily like she's got too much makeup on, but she looks like she's lived kind of a rough 15 years, perhaps.
Yeah.
Like, she looks like she's in her 30s. She doesn't look bad, but she looks maybe bad for a 15-year-old.
Which is why I think all these adult men don't feel horrible, apparently, right. about ogling over her. And from what I read, she said that she, which it's weird, like before the days of the internet where you could look things up easily, mm-hmm. I had heard in my much younger years that there was a scene in this movie where Kathy Moriarty actually gets punched by Robert De Niro.
Really?
Scorsese gave direction to De Niro to actually hit her because he wasn't getting a big enough reaction from her.
Hmm.
And that De Niro did it, and that Kathy Moriarty was just furious about it for years.
Well, yeah, that would make sense.
Well, looking into it recently, apparently that was just some weird urban myth.
Huh. Like,
so for years, I had this weird sort of, I knew it was an excellent film, but I kind of right. had this like, oh, Scorsese, De Niro, that's not
it.
Cool. Yeah, you punch a 17-year-old girl without telling her you're going to for a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently it never even happened, because from what I've read, she said she had a great experience on this set. It was her first role.
That's good.
She was a teenager, and she said that everybody was a perfect gentleman to her, and that she never felt like unsafe or anything. So I don't know where that myth came from originally, because apparently that's what it is.
Well, yeah, all the guys are definitely ogling her, and Jake is smitten, and he was already concerned about his brother fucking her, and he hasn't even talked to her.
Yeah.
We're going to learn Jake has some issues with not just fidelity, but trusting people in general.
Yeah.
He's married.
Yeah,
at this point,
one of those people who suspects others of doing what he does, but for some reason, it's terrible when they do it.
I'm splatting in the pool.
That was like a move we learned at the YWCA when I was in second grade.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like learning how to swim.
That was the lesson right before wade out and grab a toy.
Yeah,
bring it back.
Yeah, just don't suck any dick, because I'll have a problem with that.
Why don't you fucking stop? You're not going on business. You're going to fuck each other off.
Oh, wow.
So now
she
she's
there.
Hey, man, I don't think you should want to take.
I
hit
her
enough.
What am I
supposed
to do? No, where'd that cat come from?
Mel Brooks making a cat sound off screen.
Yeah, so this is a typical Saturday night in the Bronx, I guess. Hey, let's go to a summer dance.
Right.
When's the last time you went to a summer dance?
Oh, let's see. I was at a dance last night, but it's not summer.
Yeah. Beans? The kid from Even Stevens is there? Is that a reference that's lost on you? The Shia LaBeouf Disney TV show? There's this really weird-looking kid named Beans that was on it.
Which
Beans?
Huh?
Beans you?
Beans, you know, he's one of the guys. You'll know when you see him.
He should be over there.
I don't know, but you could see from there at least. Come on, let's go.
Did Joe Pesci have fake teeth in this movie?
I don't know.
They look like his teeth are huge, like he's got chiclets in his
like
mouth.
Like Walter Matthau and Dennis Lewis.
Right. His brains went the same place.
And there's John Turturro in an uncredited role.
Yeah.
Nobody's fucking with the Jesus yet.
Hey, fuck.
But yeah, we were watching this last night. I'm like, oh, hey, it's Turturro. And I looked him up, and he's not even listed on the cast. He's like at the very bottom, and it just says uncredited.
Huh.
Kind of like Norma Bates's voice, that one.
Which should have been voiced by John Turturro.
Right. That would have been funny.
Made a very different
Norman.
Movie. I've always felt John Turturro looks like Groucho Marx without his makeup on. Mm. Like, he would have been great many years ago, obviously. He's too old now, but in a Marx Brothers biopic.
So there she is again, 15, hanging out at some nightclub with a bunch of old people. And she obviously just got off work at the diner because she's wearing a hairnet.
Or she just got back from a funeral.
Yeah, she is. She is back in black there. Yeah, he's kind of getting stalkery for having never even spoken a word to her. He's like, I must have her. And now there's a kerfuffle in the lobby. Because, you know, you can't have that many Italians in a room together without something happening, I guess.
Or Irish.
Yeah. Or any group of people.
Really, yeah, when you think about
it. In the 50s.
Yeah. Or any group of people, really, I think. Like, it depends on who's making the movie. There's gonna be a same race fight of some sort. If...
He's helping throw people out that he has no idea what's going on. But hey, if I can lay hands on somebody. Those are very high-waisted pants.
I think Pesci lost weight in this movie while De Niro was gaining weight to make him look even bigger and smaller. And I think he was proud of it and wanted to wear as many waist-hugging pants as he could.
I was getting ready to say, why isn't she in school? But then I remembered it's summer. Also, I don't think people went to school back then.
Yeah.
Is that him?
Yeah. You want to meet him?
You want his autograph?
Hey, Jack.
But I thought his name was Jake.
He goes by both. Did they change it for the movie?
I don't know.
Thinking it's my brother, Jake.
He's confused. He's been smacked around too many times by his gay lover brother.
So this is reportedly improvised.
Grabbing the finger there and shaking
finger shake.
It.
Nice car.
You like that car?
It's nice.
You like that car?
Do you like that car?
And Joe's just standing there awkwardly.
You want to go for a ride?
Do you want to go for a ride?
I'm in my bathing suit.
All right. Gotta give me a few minutes. I have to change, okay?
Like, she sounds like she's been a smoker since she was 8, if she's 15. But again, it was another time. I rolled cigarettes for my grandpa when I was a kid.
Yeah?
I didn't smoke any of them, but...
Were they just regular tobacco?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it wasn't anything.
No fun.
It wasn't. Grandpa didn't indulge in, you know, that kind of stuff.
He's got a Vince Vaughn shirt on, I feel like.
Yeah.
He could just walk onto the set and swingers, yeah.
Your money. You're so fucking money.
That's fine. We're going to go play some goofy golf.
My God, they're as big as that church. Oh.
Yeah, perspective's a little off here. So since this is black and white, and they knew that, how crazy do you think her makeup is to look effective in...
Have such high contrast?
Yeah, in black and white film.
Yeah, I wonder if that's just like a super dark red, or if they went with like green. A dark brown. Yeah.
She looks like a clown.
Do
I look like a clown?
What, am I a clown?
I make you laugh. I'm here to fucking amuse you. What do you mean funny? Funny
how?
Did
you ever see any pictures, any color photos of the set of the Addams Family living room in the original series?
Uh-uh.
It was extremely colorful. It was like pink and purple.
Really?
They wanted to get a bunch of different gray tones,
that's
so they
crazy.
Had to go with pastels.
Right. All right, so he's now returning home. The wife... We were kind of confused, like, where is she? Evidently, there's been some passage of time, perhaps.
Well, I don't know. He walked in and yelled, Dad.
That was her name? He called his wife Dad? Man, that's a whole
new
level of
weird relationship.
No wonder everybody thinks they're gay brothers, if his wife's name is Dad.
Right, that's...
You like my icebox, too?
It looked like a Star Wars android, a basket on top of the refrigerator.
Now, is that a Francis Bacon above the table?
I don't know. It looks a little bright to be a Francis Bacon.
Boy, Jake Jack, this is some good water. Yeah, there's such chemistry here. They can't even speak sentences to each other.
Although it seems very realistic. Weird seeing De Niro in more than one movie where he's essentially stalking a teenage girl.
Cape Fear?
Three, that's right. Taxi Driver, Raging Bull, Cape Fear. Yeah, he's played a stalking lunatic far too many times. The Fan.
Yeah. Well, you know, go with what works, I guess.
King of Comedy.
Yeah, that was done after Raging Bull. Mm-hmm. That was the next one. That's where he plays Jerry Lewis, right?
Yeah, the guy who wants to be Jerry Lewis, essentially.
Water always tastes better when you got some pretty girl on your lap. That's what my dad always told me. He's not here, otherwise I'd introduce you. That's why I said, Dad, when we came inside, because I thought my dad was here, but she's gone.
It was the censored version of the Bloodhound Gang song. Water always tastes better when the stripper is on your lap.
Yeah. Lap dance is so much better when the stripper is crying. You can find it on Spotify.
I recommend you don't.
I know why the cage bird sings. My Angelou.
That bird has like an angel and a devil over its shoulder with those two portraits on the wall.
Yeah. It was a bird. It's dead now, I think. He's in a coma. Do birds go into comas?
It's hibernating.
I know chameleons do, because Boy George wrote that song about it.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's,
coma, 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 chameleon.
That's what he was saying.
Yeah. He's British, so it sounds different. Oh, by the way, this is my bed. Why don't you sit down here with this big giant crucifix?
Yeah.
I like to feel like Jesus is always with us.
Now, reportedly, Jake LaMotta's real-life wife, Vicky LaMotta, was with Jake LaMotta when he saw this movie, and that he started crying after he saw the movie and said to her, was I really that bad?
Yeah.
And she reportedly said, you were worse.
Yeah.
So
I'll put a little perspective on things.
Yeah. So when you're watching this extremely creepy scene, just think that real life was worse, apparently.
Right. Also, Jake LaMotta sounds like an STD when you say it fast.
Jake LaMotta?
Jake LaMotta.
Ooh, it does. Yeah. Or possibly medication for an STD. Either one.
Hey, you pick up your gigolotti yet?
I'm just picturing an infomercial of, you know, sometimes you just don't want to leave the house because you don't feel right. That's Ray why Liotta I take Jake
the, yeah, Ray Liotta does the ads for that one, too. Have you seen those?
I have not.
I stopped smoking with Chantix. You know, I mean, if we're going to talk about people from other De Niro movies, Ray Liotta looking pretty haggard these days. I think he had some plastic surgery that didn't quite work out.
Yeah, right. Some plastic surgery disasters.
Does not look like Ray Liotta. But yeah, apparently he stopped smoking with Chantix. At least that's what we learn from Hulu every time we watch a TV show. All right, so now he's fighting Sugar Ray Robinson.
43.
Not Sugar Ray Leonard. This is the original Sugar Ray. First it was Robinson, and then Leonard, and then Mark McGrath. Kind of like Nature Boy Ric Flair. Nature Boy Buddy Rogers was the original Nature Boy, and then Ric Flair took that nickname in kind of a similar fashion, like, I'm the new Sugar Ray.
Did David Bowie supply the music?
No.
Okay. Darn.
Oh. That was sped up like a Little Rascal short. Like Buckwheat got knocked out of the ring, and I was waiting for Spanky and Alfalfa to come running in. So this is a little different from other boxing movies at the time because the cameraman is in the ring. He's almost like a third fighter in a way. A lot of perspective shots, you know, right there in the action, whereas a lot of boxing movies kind of, they're outside the ring.
Yeah, and they're usually multi-camera setups because they don't want to have the actors go through the same thing again for match cuts.
Were they just using a traditional Steadicam for those?
Because there's no way they do multi-cam setups.
Well, for like this, it's a single camera. I doubt they're having like track laid in a ring because they'd be tripping over
it. I would think as he's just not like on a dolly or anything, but yeah, with a glide cam or a steady cam.
So I do like his leopard robe here.
So why isn't he the raging leopard?
Exactly. Okay, so this scene's kind of funny. He just fought, though, so that's why I was confused.
Oh.
It's like, well, now he can get his celebratory rub and tug or whatever.
You didn't know there was the passing of time from that fight, too.
But now with his maybe by now 16-year-old girlfriend or whatever it is that they are.
Yeah, we're not sure what the passing of time has been. Not enough time for her to realize yet that he's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming it hadn't been that long.
Touch my boo-boos.
Yeah. I forget when it is, but I will say there's one shot in this movie where you could tell that he's wearing makeup, that it's a prosthetic.
Yeah. It's definitely Kiss That Mole. There you go. He didn't say, he's just like, kiss my boo-boos, lick my mole.
I think he only repeats himself when he really has to make a point. He uses it sparingly.
Well, he kind of said, take off my pants twice.
Mm-hmm.
What are you waiting for?
What are you doing? I told you to take off my pants. Take off my pants.
Do you think, like, kissing the mole, it's like you get...
like imbued with powers?
Yeah. You know, like that's how his acting prowess is like passed on. Like instead of kissing the ring, you kiss the mole.
Spores that just sort of like releases some kind of magical acting.
I'm sure Marilyn Monroe did the same thing, you know?
I don't know. Kathy Moriarty didn't have like an excellent career.
That's true.
So maybe it's a curse. Maybe she kissed De Niro's mole.
And now he's going to get himself a little too wound up.
Yes.
Because as a fighter, you want to
keep your legs, is what they say.
Is that like a sailing reference?
Yes.
Okay.
Basically, like, if you come too much, you're not going to be as wound up and aggressive, and you got to keep that tension. And
your urge to dominate is not there. It's
go beat the shit out of somebody.
Right.
And then you can, you know, get your happy ending after the fight's over. So this is weird. I like the gym smell.
Oh, is that what she said?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who's Jim?
Right.
You fucking some guy named Jim? I'll fucking kill that Jim.
Right there. You can tell above his eyelids that's not his real forehead and nose.
She is really into belly buttons.
Apparently. She's got a happy trail obsession.
Because like that one angle would have you to believe she's doing more, but then it's like, oh no, she's just like really going to town on that innie. Yeah.
Now, Paul Schrader had originally written masturbation scene.
Yeah.
I heard about that. Because he was kind of doing it for the paycheck. He didn't have the excitement for it that, wow.
By God, he's trying to eat her face.
Tonsil digging there.
Yeah. It's all part of the method acting. She didn't know any better as her first movie. You know, like now, if an actor shoves his tongue down another actress's throat, there's usually words exchanged.
You would think.
So he's pouring ice water, which he just had conveniently by the sink ready to go, as if he knew this was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And he's dumping it on his dick.
Oh, there's a lot of repeating.
Yeah.
That was like four in a row. Championship tonsil boxer, apparently. Right.
He's like, I can't touch you. I can't touch you. Oh,
here we just got Jesus and Mary judging off to the side.
Jesus showing off his chest there. He's like pulling it. Jesus, not a hairy chested man.
I always like that Jesus is holding out one hand, like, no, thank you. Thank you. No autographs. No autographs.
He's like,
please.
I'm going to
hold your applause.
I'm going to take a shit now. And now it's the rematch.
Yes.
Well, it's a double rematch.
And this is where, if you watch the cuts, they look rather Hitchcock-like.
So he's now gone 3 weeks without an orgasm, is what we're being led to believe.
Mm-hmm. Maybe this is the second match. Maybe this isn't the one. I can't remember.
Now that looked like heat coming off.
Yeah.
Knocked down.
Oh, there.
Every morning Jake LaMotta hits me down in my little boxing ring. Sugar Ray.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, him. That Sugar Ray.
I've seen them live.
Oh, yeah?
Down on the riverfront. Not too far from Bearded Owl.
The only thing that I really know about Sugar Ray is that Marilyn Manson shot him in the butt with a air rifle.
Really?
According to Manson, he did.
Why is it so hot in there?
Boo-boo.
Uh-oh. We got a split decision here. It looks out of focus and, like, wavy.
Wanted to give that things are heating up, things are getting tense. Scorsese wanted the viewers to feel the heat in the ring.
Joe is not a fan of woodworking.
Yep, there he goes. That one's not in here either.
Because their mother's taking up the fucking ass, that's why.
I don't think that's necessarily a slight anymore.
Yeah. Also, that's a weird stereotype.
Yeah. Like, yeah, my mom's like very sexually explorative, like, and good for her.
Man, she's fun. Cool. Good for mom.
My dad's into it. Like, I think it's weird that I know all this info, but I'm glad they're happy.
What, do you want me to be upset with them?
Your mom sucks dick. Okay.
Good for dad and her, I guess.
Also, she's your mom too, Jake Jack.
Jake Jack.
Kiss my boo-boo. And his trainer's like, dude, no.
I'm looking at the man in the mirror.
He just starts going into his you talking to me bit.
Yeah. That's not going to reduce the swelling. You have to submerge your hand. It hurts, too.
Scorsese's a big fan of the slow push on liquid.
Yeah.
The sticking of the Alka-Seltzer in Taxi Driver.
Now, that's one I haven't seen in a really long time. See, and now we're speeding it up, and we actually have color for the first time.
Yes, he uses color for the, you know, what look like Super flashbacks. Eight, yeah.
So we can kind of see what the makeup looks like a little bit. But, yeah, we're kind of flying through some fights here with just still photographs. And now they're actually getting married. It's making an honest woman of her or something like that.
I think this is a great passing of time montage. I love the decision to make the home video footage in color, almost like... This is the fantasy world. This is the untrue world, and that's why it's all colorized and, you know, rose colored, so to speak. But real life is vicious and in black and white.
Do you wish swimming trunks like that would come back?
For either sex, no.
Yeah. What about the hair turban thing there?
That I dig. I actually like her lounging by the pool swimwear.
Now, that's kind of weird, right? Like, do a spin, but then I'm kind of paranoid that you're sleeping with everybody. But
yeah.
Like, yeah, look at her ass.
Yeah, I think that's... Is that kind of what a trophy wife is to some men?
I guess.
You know, hey, I want you to look at her, but look what I've attained, but don't interact with her.
And now Pesci's married. I don't know, I just keep calling him Joe Pesci because I can't remember what his character's name is.
Isn't it just Joey?
Hey, is that a maypole?
Oh, I missed it. That's what we need. That in my head.
Yeah. That's a callback to our Wicker Man episode, which has been doing very well.
Yes.
It is already our second most downloaded episode of season four.
It's the cult classics are what people want to listen to.
Teen Wolf and Wicker Man. So how many kids do they have now? Three? Or, yeah, that one, that's Pesci's kid. Look at that hairdo.
Maybe it's two and two.
Yeah. So, yeah, this looks like such a happy suburban life. It's now 1947. He's still winning.
He's doing well enough.
We're given this false sense of security, like, oh, things are turning around.
Don't ever do that Gennaro bullshit again. No more deals like that. You hear what I'm saying?
What
am I talking about? Look at that.
And back to reality.
68 pounds.
Yep.
Stop eating. What's this with a smart ass?
It's a sign of things to come right there.
Oh, you didn't say that. You're the one that told me you could get down to 155 pounds. When I get it, when I pull it out of the fucking air? I don't know if I'm going to make it down to 155. I'm lucky I make it to 160.
I can't wait. 155.
And if I don't make the 155, I lose $15,000.
That's right.
Oh, you're supposed to be a manager.
Well, Andrew Dice Clay there.
Yeah, right.
Now we know where Andrew Dice Clay got his personality.
Boom.
Oh.
What
are you talking? You want a title shot? What am I in? What am I in? A circus over here? I asked him, he's got more sense about this. What are you doing?
You've been killing yourself for 3 years now, right?
3 years.
There's nobody left for you to fight. Everybody's afraid to fight you. Okay, along comes this kid, Gennaro. He don't know any better. He's a young kid, up and coming, and fight anybody. Good.
I wonder what this Gennaro kid looks like.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my first thought. Anytime somebody talks about a fighter, I wonder what they look like.
Okay, let's say you lose because of your weight. Are they going to think you're not as tough as you were? You're not the same fighter? Good. They'll match with all those guys they were afraid to match with before. What happens? You'll kill them, and they got to give you a title shot.
Bring me coffee, please.
Why?
Wow, he actually said please.
Nobody else. Nobody's left. Who are they going to give it to?
Coffee.
Yep, there it goes.
You listening to me?
Please, honey, bring me the coffee.
All right.
Oh. Yeah, boy, how long I gotta wait?
Are you listening? Now let's say you win. You beat Gennaro.
Yeah. Which is definitely should
he would be,
eaten,
a horrible person, right? To be a server for at a restaurant.
Right. They still got,
like, he
give
orders his food and he's like, "Why ain't he here yet?"
Right,
like, sir, I'm taking your wife's order at the moment.
They got to give you the shot. You understand? If you win, you win.
He comes back to the kitchen, like, "What's up? What's going on with that fucking steak? You're gonna burn it. You don't know what you're doing."
Without any help from anybody. You understand? Just get down to 150.
He should go to Alexander's. He can cook his own.
Yeah, there you go. Or just, he has to deal with fast food only.
You don't understand anything. Do you understand that?
And that's why he weighs 168.
Uh-oh. She should have known better than that.
I'm saying good looking, I'm saying popular.
She knew I was curious.
She had the same thought that you did. Yeah, it is Joey.
No, take it.
Get out of here. Take the baby and get out of here. Everybody, all the sons in the diary about this. She's talking about, where'd she find out he's good looking, first of all?
She didn't mean nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Where's she?
Oh, geez. Now it's spreading. He's like, oh, he's being an asshole. Well, now I gotta be an asshole to you.
Especially if it's my brother and his wife. It got nothing to do with you. Now get out of here. Go inside. Get out. Take the baby inside.
Take the baby, who we haven't named yet. That's why we don't name our kids until the four.
I think, yeah, all four of their kids are just referred to as the baby still.
You cry.
I wonder where... what their parents were like.
Very loving.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Nobody around.
Not a single luxury.
Joey, listen, let me ask you something. When I'm away, you ever notice anything funny going on with her?
Like a clown?
Like what?
What do you think I mean?
No, I don't know. I don't notice anything.
I want you to keep an eye on her.
For what, Jack? She don't do anything wrong.
I want you to keep an eye on her. Right.
Well, you think that baby ain't yours?
Cracking up.
Hey, yo, I got a reason, right? When I born, right?
He does look like that Gennaro kid. He's pretty young.
I would have gotten confused on set and kept calling Gennaro De Niro or vice versa.
You're picking on this girl because I saw you before. You're worried about your weight. You're getting aggravated. You tell her, what do you do? Go inside. Go inside. Go west. Well, I don't know if not. You're going to give her an excuse to go out.
He's got a point.
Talking on your
We need one of our listeners to look up for us, just because I don't feel like doing it. Does Pesci have prosthetic teeth in? I'm obsessing over this. I just keep staring at his.
Hey, you can contact us on Twitter at DL Drunk at Movies.
How are you going to take her out? We'll go out. You want to go out before you go away, don't you? So you go away with a clear head.
Hashtag Pesci teeth.
Yes.
All right.
He doesn't even have pants on, and, like, they have company over. I have pants on while we're recording this.
Right.
It'd be weird if I didn't, right? Yeah. I mean, it's not just me.
We're not brothers, but I don't even think I walk around with my pants off when I hang out with my brother. I think it's actually weirder to do around your brother.
Right. Oh, and this, like, getting ready to fuck in front of two nameless babies and a sister-in-law.
Yeah.
You want in on this, Lenore? You look in it? Huh?
Back to Copa Lounge. What a great audience.
Barry Manilow's here?
Her name was Lola. Yeah. She wore a diamond. Or did Rico wear the diamond? I can't remember.
The world may never know.
I'd like to introduce the world's leading middleweight contender, the Bronx Bull.
That could have been a contender.
He could have been somebody.
Let's hear it for the great Jake LaMotta, ladies and gentlemen.
Who's watching the kids?
Janet.
Also, why's Joey got a new lady there? Where's Lenore? Yeah. Watching all the kids, probably.
He has to be with a
all four of them.
Hook. No head, just a hook here.
Where you going?
I got shit.
Make some room.
Hey, Vicky.
She almost seems the type, like, in their relationship, she probably would say that. I gotta take a big shit. You wanna follow me?
And then he's just super proud of her. Yeah. He goes, isn't she great? She's a catch.
Uh-oh. Here we go again.
Well, Jake, how are you?
You're not drinking, are you? No. Joey, how are you? Quit jabbing the ball, eh?
Yeah.
That's the mom over there with Tommy Como. Why don't you come over and have a drink?
Perry's brother?
Now, that was Joey Batts in Goodfellas, right?
I think so, yeah. Who is Joey Bag of Donuts?
That's Mike Birbiglia's brother. It's one of my favorite stories of all time.
I thought that was my best joke.
You need some new material, buddy. You are not Don Rickles. Oh, great. Now she's with all her... all the old boys. That's kind of gross, right? Like, if De Niro is sitting there thinking she did things with all of these guys, they're like 80.
Yeah.
And she's 18.
At this point, yeah, must
19.
Be 18 ish.
That's pretty gross. There's a lot of them. I say hello to all of them. Hello to you,
sir. I took a big shit first. What do you want?
Hello to you.
Doctor, 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 doctor.
Doctor.
What were we talking to Sally for?
I always forget that in Spies Like Us, Terry Gilliam was one of the doctors until I specifically think of that scene.
Yeah, which remind me, again, because right now, all I keep thinking of is the Goldbergs because we watched an episode where they referenced that.
Okay.
But I knew it was from something I'd seen before, and I couldn't figure out
it
what
was,
movie.
It was Spies Like Us when Chevy Chase and Dan Aykroyd have to pretend to be doctors, and they're just going along with beating on the doctors, and they just keep repeating, doctor, 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 doctor.
So at the end of this episode of the Goldbergs, there's these three friends of one of the sons, and they all are talking about they want to be doctors when they grow up just so they can do that. And they stand in a square and keep acknowledging each other. They all have to acknowledge all three of them. It goes on for way too long, and I found that hilarious.
I need to check that out. That's my kind of comedy.
Oh, kisses for everybody. Hey, man, bring me some more ice water. I call before I come. I won't just pop over. I actually listened to Stankonia yesterday. That's a very timely reference.
He's never coming around anymore. You can't even make a call. What are you? I'm busy. I'm going away fighting. I'm busy. I'm
busy. Busy. Look at him taking me seriously. I'm
I love this kid.
He didn't kiss the mole, so his career is going
to
be fine.
Exactly. I've never seen that man.
Forget about it. They're all afraid to fight you.
See, I
Harry
like,
Carey?
Yeah. I like having the captions on because when they say their slang, these Italian words, I've never known how they are spelled, and they're never spelled like I would assume they are.
Mm.
I would do horrible at Italian spelling bee.
Your word is mozzadel.
Mozzadel. M-U-T-Z-A-D-E-L. Mozzadel.
That's correct.
That was wrong.
That's how Italians spell mozzarella.
That's not even how Italians say it. It's mozzarella.
I'm telling you, I'm spending a lot of money on you. This fight is generic, right?
Yeah.
He said the magic word.
What would you tell me? What could you say to me?
I would say about everything you got.
Everything.
Everything. Because I'm going to open this hole like this. Excuse my...
His friend. Asshole?
Yikes.
I'm going to make him suffer. I'm going to make his mother wish she never had him.
This happened
make him into dog meat. What?
Did he say something in the paper?
No, he's a nice kid. He's a pretty kid, too.
That's why I'm going to fuck him in the ass.
Fuck him a fight.
This is like when Norm MacDonald goes on too long making fun of someone, then he always ends it with, no, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
No, he's a good guy.
By who? Geneva. You mean you want me to get him to fuck you? Me?
Yeah.
No, I don't want to fuck me.
I could do that easily.
How are you going to do that?
Because I get you both in the ring, I give you both a fucking beat, and you both can fuck each other.
Well, the mood at the table has shifted.
Right.
Come on, drink up. It's ginger ale.
And the thing is, this Gennaro kid's at his house having a nice dinner with whoever and has no idea that he's being offered up to satisfy all these people. I wonder, you know, like if somebody's talking about you, they say your ears start burning.
Yeah.
Do you think like he all of a sudden felt like a sensation in his ass?
It could have been the pickled eggs, but it might have been him. Yeah. knowing about this conversation subconsciously.
He's like, wake up, I'm coming to bed. Oh, smaller crucifix now.
Oh.
So, I don't know what that means.
What the relevance is.
Yeah, because, I mean, you saw it before when he's like, come sit on this bed. Check out my big old crucifix. All the ladies love a big crucifix. By the way, that's what I call my dick. I haven't have Jesus tattooed on it, so it's authentic.
So you can say you're hung like Jesus.
Jesus looked to be in great shape in that photo where he was. I mean, he was doing the Superman.
He was showing off his abs for a reason.
There's a photo. It's a, I don't know, artistic rendering of Jesus that I see frequently at a relative's house. And he's holding like a fishing pole with like a bobber on it or something. But the placement of said fishing pole looks like a thumb. So it almost looks like a thumbs up Jesus, which always makes me think of Buddy Christ and Dogma. And he's smiling and he always looks so happy. He's like, what's up, Jesus?
You know. So is this a white Jesus?
Yeah, totally. Or is it, okay. Totally white
Jesus. So it's an accurate depiction.
Of course.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
He migrated. Oh, here we go. Gennaro has no idea what is in store for him. Yeah, Gennaro has not landed a shot yet.
And LaMotta now has him by the throat with one hand and just punching him.
Right cross after right cross.
Ooh.
There goes the nose.
And this again, Scorsese said that what he wanted to capture about boxing when he went to see his first boxing match to do research was he wanted the blood dripping from the ropes.
Which we do see.
And the blood-soaked sponge that they had to use to wipe down the fighters. It actually kind of, I don't know if it messed with him, but it struck him as particularly barbaric, and he wasn't a fan of the experience of watching boxing. And so he wanted that to be the feeling people walked away from watching this, to see it as just vicious.
So he didn't finish the fight with a knockout. It went to decision, but I don't know. That looked like a knockout to me.
Yeah. We'll take it. He hit the mat.
Now he's at the peep show.
Somebody's getting high.
Yeah. They're hotboxing in the sauna.
Smoky room.
Now he's trying to cut weight, I think.
Yeah, and I have never gotten high and wanted to jump rope.
Oh, that's the best time to jump rope. You're like, look how good I am.
Then again, he has no rope, so that would explain it. I thought he was jump roping. Yeah. He's just running in place.
He's with a hard on, apparently. Why is he cutting weight now? He just had the fight. Like, he was supposed to cut weight before.
I think because since he did so well that he's got to keep weight. He's still got to keep making weight.
His nose from one side of his face to the other. Fucking thing was hanging off.
Oh. I don't think that happened.
It was close. I doubt he did that.
We're gonna get the title shot too. Sure, man. I like your brother. Made a lot of money out of it. Yeah, probably more than he did. That's for sure.
It's a nice cabbage on the Oscar. Oh, cabbage. Not a fan.
Stuffed cabbage. I like. Like a nice traditional Hungarian stuffed cabbage dish.
She's out. Not with Jake, Jack.
That's bad news. And
I think I just saw some money exchange hands. So what's that all about? Are they getting some drugs? Or is she being offered up?
I think she is the drug.
Yeah. Joey's going to go find out what's going on.
Where are you going with that gun in your hand? I'm going down to shoot my old lady. You know I caught her messing
around with another man. She's going to kiss my mole.
I can't walk. I look at somebody the wrong way, I get smacked.
You think you're right or something?
Put sunglasses on.
I am right. No, you're wrong.
Look, I am right. I'm tired of having to turn around and having both of you up my ass all the time.
This is like a psycho shot, right?
No.
With the reflections.
I'm not wrong.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it is. Hiding behind mirrors and then...
Because I love her.
You do?
Being surrounded by your reflection. Pretty much any time a
director...
That's
a lie.
Anytime a director makes that decision, it's got to be intentional, because shooting against a mirror is extremely difficult to keep getting the right shot you want.
And you're drinking with them.
Finish my drink and I'm gonna have a good time.
Tom, what do you get your stuff?
That was ADR.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Man, if
shut up.
We just turned this into anytime anybody repeats themselves, this would be a long drink.
Just listen to the music. Have fun.
Joey, there's nothing going on over here.
Sorry, we're good friends. We could straighten this.
Oh!
There's
nothing going on! Nothing going on!
Well, this is going to ruin the evening. Now the maitre d's getting involved.
Let me show you to your table.
Pesci always plays a very passionate, quick to anger Italian.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's going for more. That's drastic. Yeah, and when we were watching this, I was like, wonder if that door's going to come into play.
Right.
It's just conveniently open. And then we cut back in. Here we go. And it's the 1950s curb stomp, essentially.
Although, bringing it back to Vincent D'Onofrio, Kingpin did that in first season of Daredevil.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the movie Kingpin. I'm like, I don't remember that.
He got his hands chopped off.
Amish
but...
guy bowling and a very aggressive landlord, but yeah. Ah, that's fun. Debonair Social Club.
With the Dunkin' Donuts font.
Yes. Members only. You have to have a jacket. Oh, it's official. They have a certificate. What do you think they're playing? War?
Pinnacle.
No, that ain't war.
And we're going to forget about it. I should forget about it, but we're going to forget about it.
Forget about it. Capiche? They haven't said capiche.
No capiche. There was salute.
Yeah.
They had a salute in there.
Yeah, that guy totally no should be grudges. Saying capiche.
That's the most important thing. No grudges. Now, come on. Shake hands.
Say, how do you do? First. State your name and business. I want to fuck your brother's wife. Oh!
I only wish this thing never happened to me. We all wish it never happened.
Lots of people think lots of things about New York.
Let me talk to you.
Yeah, fuck off, Salvi. I'll see you Monday, Tuesday, or something.
Yeah, foo, retire.
Yeah, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, whatever. That stuff on the wall there.
The tin?
Yeah, it's on the ceiling of every old-time building.
Yeah, every downtown speakeasy attempt at a bar.
Yeah. My uncle's flower shop in Pekin, Flowers by Florence, it no longer exists. It closed after he passed. They had a bunch of that, like, in the back room, and it was all on the ceiling and stuff. And before they demolished the building, my Aunt Carol went in and salvaged a bunch of it. And cut squares, and they made like shadow boxes or something for it.
Oh, cool.
And all of his kids, my cousins, and my parents have one as well at their house, have a square of that because we just always associated it with the flower shop.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a sign of a different era because you don't really see it anymore. And when you do, you're like, oh, this is an old building.
In a very specific era.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's just got that very early 20th century mm-hmm. feel.
Man's got a head of rock.
You know, it's hard to explain, Tommy. Jack respects you.
I mean, you don't even say hello to anybody. You know, you, he talks to, he likes you. It's just that...
there are some Scorsese tropes of, you know, this conversation is in, like, every...
Jesus Christ could come off the cross.
Every movie of his where Italian-Americans are hanging out in New York, specifically in the Bronx, there's always this conversation of somebody, usually Joe Pesci, who stepped over the line and has to go have a conversation with one of the higher-ups and
gotta talk about respect.
Right. Has to have a conversation about respect and kissing and making up.
Now, were you a fan of The Sopranos?
I only saw a few episodes because I wanted to watch it from beginning, but yeah. Haven't gotten around to it yet.
Well, me being a baritone, I was suspect the first time I watched it anyways, but fairly good series. I kind of lost interest after maybe about three or four seasons, okay. And I never finished it.
And it was what, 7 seasons?
Something like that, yeah. I didn't have home box office, so it was something I had to rent.
Now, something I want to see, because what's big now is doing, like, reboots on television from old movies, like mm-hmm. Karate Kid and that kind of thing. I want to see a reboot of The Godfather again. I want a Godfather TV show that's, like, either early years of Sonny, like, between...
It's Always Sonny.
Yeah. We'll have Charlie...
Meets the Godfather, yeah.
Charlie Corleone.
That'd be great.
Killing rats in the basement of the Corleone compound.
What are your thoughts on Godfather 3? I know a lot of people shit on it all the time.
Of course, not as good nearly as the first two, but not a bad film, in my opinion. I don't think it's a bad movie. I think that it doesn't capture the excellence of the first two. But as far as the trilogy goes, I'll take it.
Yeah.
How about you?
Pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Like, we'll never do it on this show.
Right.
If we're going to do a Godfather, it's going to be the first one.
Won't be the third one. Sorry, Sophia. I love you as a director.
And then follow-up question. What do you think of the Zucker Brothers Mafia?
I never saw it.
I didn't either. I know the preview, and I can still picture, like, the gag where the Marlon Brando guy's got the orange peel in his mouth. And
something about it just seemed so... like somebody doing a caricature of a Zucker film that...
I rented it just to pull some video clips for a project I did in college when I did a lot of video editing. And like we've discussed, I'm old school, so I had to do tape-to-tape transfers. Mm-hmm. So I went and had to rent a whole bunch of videos to get these clips from.
Yep, I hear you, brother.
Yeah, so there was...
Been there.
We did this project where we were supposed to talk about musicals, but we had a member of our group disappear very early on. He, like, dropped the class, but he was assigned to our group.
Mm-hmm.
So we made that into a joke that he was on his way to our meeting, and we showed the footage from Casino of, I believe, De Niro walking out to the car.
And then the car blowing up.
And then the car explodes. So we had one of the members tell that story. And, like, this is what I heard happened. And then we overdub. And we're like, oh, I'm on my way to our group meeting. I'm so excited about this project. And then he blows up. And then one of us is like, that's not what happened at all. This is what happened. And we do the same exact thing, but redub in the other guy's voice. Mm-hmm. And then we cut back to us, and we're like, that's what I just said. We're like, no, wasn't it? That didn't sound anything like me. And then we go, this is actually what happened. And we cut, and we use the clip from Mafia, which directly spoofs that scene. But Jay Moore, projectile shoots out of the top of the car and is just, like, spinning through the credits in these fireballs. And there's, like, random animals flying by in the balls of fire. And that's what we ended up going with. I have it on tape. I'll have to show it to you sometime.
There was,
it's ridiculous.
And I think you are probably the only one who would enjoy watching this again. In one of the Talking Donkey videos that I made with our friends Kyle and Jeff and at one time Jarrett.
Yeah.
We used that exact same clip. The car blowing up
really?
From the casino. That exact same edit with a similar premise of
that's funny.
Kyle and Jeff running out to their car to go run an errand or something. And then it cuts to the car blowing up from Casino.
So, we have another fight here now, and De Niro is actually supposed to take a dive. This kid that he's fighting is undefeated at this point, and the kid's not, he's not fighting. He's making it very obvious that something's up.
Yeah.
What the fuck's the matter with you? Oh, whoa. What do you think you're doing out there? Huh?
A little slow, that's
what are you doing out there?
Paintings, it'll be all right. A little slow. I'll make it up. What are you worried about? God damn it.
Come on. Use the loofah.
I'm sorry.
It exfoliates.
That sponge wasn't so blood-soaked.
Yeah, not in this one. Yeah,
kind of, phoning it in.
Yeah, he's like begging to be hit.
And then this is where we get the psycho edits.
Yeah, like, it doesn't even look like he's being hit. The crowd is not happy. The fix is in. TKO, Mike Tyson, Little Mac. Did you ever play Mike Tyson's Punch Out?
I played the hell out of Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
It is great. It's my favorite game.
Oh, this wasn't the psycho edits. My God, what's wrong with me?
This is going to be some repeating here.
Yeah, a lot of what did I do?
Okay, I'm going to say it. I don't like his crying acting here. Something about it just... I know it's really tough to have a realistic cry, but I watched this and I'm just like, this isn't his strongest performance. And I know it's an Academy Award winning performance, but I just, something about it, it just seems fake to me. But that's just one man's opinion.
I could see why it seems fake in this scene, but for me, the
like
realism,
his crying seems more convincing to me than De Niro's here.
See, I believe this. I believe that this type of man, this is how he cries. He actually breaks down like a baby, which is what Jake LaMotta said he did. Like, it was like a sobbing, bawling, couldn't contain his emotions anymore.
Yeah.
And didn't want to release them with anger anymore. And that's what he would do, is just break down like a baby. And I think that, and I can totally see that, because it does seem a little like sobby and over the top.
Yeah.
But at the end of the movie, when he's in the cell and he has his breakdown, that brings it back to complete reality to me, a realism to me. That scene, when I edited De Niro for a comedy bit, he repeats himself a bunch in that scene. I couldn't use it because it killed the comedy. It was so dramatic and such a powerful performance. It was like, all right, well, this isn't making the cut, even though it counts.
First was withheld pending DA's probe. Look at that.
They're going to stick me in the ass? What does that mean? Probe. Like an alien?
Mama Luke. That's how you spell Mama Luke?
Apparently so.
There's two C's and an O in Mama Luke.
Not according to ECW Wrestling. There was a wrestler. He was part of the FBI, the Full-Blooded Italians, and his name was Tony Mama Luke, but it was M-A-M-A-L-U-K-E.
Okay.
Tony Mama Luke.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I always assumed it was spelled.
The way an American would spell it, right.
2 years later, that was a long lunch. And now we're at the Book Cadillac Hotel. Marcel Cerdan, the middleweight champion, fighting Jake LaMotta, the challenger.
What do you want me to do? It's an outdoor arena. What do you want to do? Fight?
Wonder where those cardboard cutouts are. They're practicing stitching here.
On a piece of split meat.
Yeah.
I don't want to wait. I don't either, but we got us. So we'll wait. Hello.
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 Hello. Well done.
Yeah, wow. Right on cue.
Some friends of mine from back in the day, their dad was obsessed with the Three Stooges, and that was their answering machine message, was the Stooges at the top. It was Tara Sharp's parents.
Oh, okay.
Her dad, Warren, their whole basement. It wasn't quite this elaborate, but they had a lot of Three Stooges stuff.
I remember
stuff
talking
in their
about
basement.
That with Tara, because my dad was, he wasn't quite obsessed, but he was pretty obsessed.
I think that actually was my first exposure to the Stooges, was from Warren.
I grew up with them. Every birthday for my dad, my brother and I sing the "We Baked You a Birthday Cake." If you get a tummy ache and you groan and groan and groan, don't you dare, we told you so.
Yeah,
we sing that to him.
I like the Stooges,
or
but
don't forget, we told you so.
I am more of a Hal Roach Little Rascals fan, which if you look down on the floor, I acquired the entire VHS collection at a thrift store for $3. I used to rent those VHS tapes at Gingo Teague all the time as a kid, so now I own them.
For me, it's Marx Brothers are...
Yeah, I knew that was the
way
top.
Up top. I'm sure anybody who's listened to at least one show before has heard me say something like that. I think I've already referenced them twice in this episode until now.
John Turturro.
Yeah.
And longtime listeners, anytime you listen to a John Hughes episode, my friend Groucho was on the show. Real name Eric, but his podcasting name on all of his shows is always Groucho.
And I haven't met Groucho yet, but I feel like he and I would have a 3-hour conversation about the Marx Brothers.
Well, you know, I've been thinking we're going to have to reunite the original Dream Team, because we're going to have to do it. There's many more John Hughes movies that still need to be done, so we may have to have a 4-man show coming up at some point. Daryl worked in radio.
Daryl and I worked together for a brief moment.
So, yeah, you guys know each other already, and yeah, Groucho. Naturally, a man after your own heart. Oh, thank you.
Okay.
Oh, I got to go suck his dick. You didn't get your goodbye. The long goodbye.
Goodbye kiss. So long.
And seriously, like, he's suspect of that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's... Oh,
see, that is a bit suspicious.
What a face. I'd like to come all over it. And I have. That's what he's hearing in his head.
That's what Jake is thinking. That's not what Dustin was thinking.
No. I don't even know her. And I'm in a happy relationship. She matches that couch. She, like, blends in. It's like camouflage.
It's like Madeline Kahn's outfit and high anxiety matches the car.
Yeah. More on Madeline Kahn next week.
Yes.
That's a clue to what we're watching.
Oh, I get it. And here I think we have a couple of repetitions coming up.
What's all this?
What's all this then?
I'm going to just say goodbye.
You won't say you're so friendly with him?
Just say goodbye.
You don't do that. You say hello, you say goodbye, that's all, you hear?
Oh.
You hear what I said?
She bounced off the wall.
Disrespect for me. You hear what I said? You hear what I said?
There's one.
I heard it.
All right, go in there. Come here.
I meant what I said, and I said what I meant.
Stop it!
Jake Lobata's faithful
100%. Shut up!
There's a three-peat.
Call him Scottie Pippen.
Mm-hmm. BJ Headstrong.
The two of yous.
The two youths.
Yeah, that'll come back. Get to use later.
I liked his Jeffrey Allen's outfit that he had on.
This is the scene I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
Pesci looks in pain. But he's supposed to. But there wasn't a
there wasn't
cut.
A cut, so I think it was the ring scene earlier.
Tuck that hair back. I do think the leopard robe is an odd choice for him, right?
It's very
strange.
It doesn't
fit his personality at all. You think he would be solid black.
Or just red. He's got the nickname Raging Bull, right? Or just Rage.
Or even white. We can't have our Pekin drink, because this is a black and white movie.
Yeah, I know.
No red and white.
I like his Superman spit curl, though.
Yeah.
De Niro as Superman, I think, would have been fun.
My name's Kal-El. You want me to kneel before you, Zod? You want me to kneel before you?
Justice in the American fucking way.
He's going through the crowd. And they don't do that now because people die. They'd get stabbed or something.
Oh, she looked right at the camera.
Yeah, so did that guy.
He.
Oh, boy. They're like child actors.
Or dogs.
Don't look at the camera. Nope. No, too late. .158 1/4 pounds. I weighed that once.
Yeah?
Yeah. That was a while ago. Probably about 4 years ago when I was still running.
What were you running for?
I was going through a divorce.
Oh, you don't have to run for that. You don't have to get elected for that. You can sign some papers. I did it once. It still sucked. I'd rather run.
Had a lot of rage. I took it out on my knees, and now I can't run no more. Oh, that did not take long. Now that he knocked him down.
Nope, yep.
Now, what would be great is if Vicky got up and was the ring girl with the cards.
That'd piss him off.
Yeah. And then, like, one of the Mama Lukes hired her to do that, and it pissed him off. He's all stupid. Yep. He's out. What? Who's going to blow him? I'm not going to blow him. He cannot continue with the champ. He's out. Gerald Briscoe as the referee. That's an old wrestler.
Somebody get those orange peel out of my mouth.
Yeah.
I forget. His two Academy Awards were this and Deer Hunter, or was it this and Godfather Part 2?
It was Rocky and Bullwinkle.
It was Rocky and you're right. It was. It was Fearless Leader and Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Did you ever see that?
I did not.
I did not either.
I assume avoided that it. Script yeah. is the first bomb ever sent to Robert De Niro's house.
Yeah, I'm going to look through his filmography. There definitely has to be some other stinkers.
Oh, I was referencing the pipe bomb from a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
Well, now he's gotten too confident.
Yeah. You think the champ would have a TV that worked?
Yeah, apparently boxers don't make that much money. It's just the people who hire them to box who make the money.
Yeah.
You know, like everything in the sports industry.
Now, did you ever see Grudge Match?
I did not.
Which had him and Stallone.
Oh, I remember it coming out.
Playing boxers
no,
that were old.
I forgot about that.
It was Rocky against LaMotta. Yeah,
was it bad? It seemed like it was going to be pretty...
Yeah, it came out 2013. I'll just say the IMDb score is 6.4. So, not quite what I would say a horrible rating, but... Raging Bull has a score of 8.2.
Yeah, I don't really trust IMDb anymore. I trusted it when it first came out, as far as ratings and scores go, but I often love movies that have like a 6.7 or something on IMDb, yeah. And I can't figure out what's wrong with people. What are you giving me dirty looks for? Supposed to be a champion. Here we got one coming up. That made it into my De Niro cut because it opens up the montage of him referencing wanting to kill people.
His lip smacking here. Is he the pioneer of ASMR?
When you gave him a beat.
You mean when I caught his head in the taxi cab door and banging it and smacking him with a glass and everything?
You know, there are people that make a shit ton of money on YouTube making videos of them just making noises with their mouths.
Oh, I know. I'm not into those kind of videos.
Yeah.
I do listen to ASMR videos sometimes to, like, help me relax before going to sleep, but they're not the mouth sound ones.
Okay. They're more of, like, the...
I like haircuts. I find the sound of a haircut very relaxing, which I always liked getting my haircut and felt very relaxed when it happened. So, like, when I found out this was the thing, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm not nuts. Like, there's actually...
There are other
There's
people.
Something, yeah, to this.
Huh.
But yeah, I usually enjoy that.
I would have told you about it.
Is that a lamp of Tinkerbell behind
that's
him?
That's not what you heard. It's
looks like it. Heard. Or Ferngully. Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
You heard about me and Salvi.
I heard things, Joey.
Yeah, you heard that I cracked Salvi all around. What'd you
things,
hear?
Joey. I heard things.
What things you heard?
I heard some things.
Yeah, you heard things. You want to worry? Don't start that worrying shit. You know what you should worry about? Worry you got this title fight next month. That's what you should worry
There are
worry
some
about.
Things that I heard.
Who
Some things I did hear.
Christ.
You know what I heard? Things.
Salvi fucked Vicky.
What?
Salvi fucked Vicky.
Now he's making him repeat.
And that happens a lot, too. People, Joey,
wait, you hot of hearing?
Yeah.
Joey, I asked you. Didn't I ask you to keep an eye on
him? And I did keep an eye on him. Yes, I did.
How come you gave him a beat?
I told you that. I told you what that was all about. It didn't have nothing to do with you. He thinks he's a wise guy now.
We don't lie to me.
I'm not lying.
What do I look like to you, huh?
Hey, I'm your brother. You're supposed to believe me. Don't you trust me?
No, I don't.
Oh, you don't? That's
no. I don't trust you when it comes to her. I don't trust nobody.
Including her.
Now tell me, what happened?
DTA, man. Stone Cold Steve Austin. Don't trust anybody.
Get out of line. I slapped him around. Tommy straightened it all out, and it's all
LaMotta 316 says, I just beat my wife. That t-shirt didn't sell either.
Give me that look, Joey. I gotta accept your answer, you know? But I'm telling you now, if I hear anything, I swear on our mother, I'm gonna kill somebody.
Oh, here it is.
I'm gonna kill somebody, Joey.
He's gonna kill somebody.
Kill everybody. You're a tough guy. Go kill people. Kill Vicky. Kill Salvi. Kill Tommy Cole.
Kill me.
Kill me while you're out. What do I care?
Uh-oh.
You're killing yourself the way you
There's
eat.
A Freudian
you're
slip there.
Fuck. Look at you.
What do you mean? I don't understand. What do you mean kill you?
Me. Kill me. Start here. Kill me first. Do me a fucking favor. Because you're driving me crazy. You're a killer. You're a big shot. Yep. Just kill.
Trying to backpedal out of it now.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even think he did anything, but he's stepped into something.
What does that mean? Don't mean nothing.
Even you don't even know what you meant.
When you're dealing with this kind of paranoia, anything could be turned into something.
You mentioned Tommy, you mentioned Salvi, you mentioned you. You included you with them. You could have said anybody, but you said you and them.
What do you mean you went to the store for groceries?
You really let this girl ruin
Who were the
life?
Groceries for?
She really did
Who were you with?
You know, fucking nuts
Who was
you
working
are?
At the store? You weren't buying me groceries. Were you buying her groceries?
What?
You making her dinner? Say hi to your mother for me.
How could you ask me? I'm your brother. You ask me that?
The scene always makes me think of the Eddie Izzard Dressed to Kill stand-up special.
I used to own that.
Did you fuck my wife? I am your wife.
It's very uncomfortable to watch. It's supposed to be.
I'm not answering it. I'm not going to answer that. It's stupid.
And another thing I read was that
he's answering by not answering. I feel like it's like, just say no. By not saying no, you're kind of saying, yeah, she did.
Yeah.
But it was before you knew her. She was only 14.
Or he knows the way his brother thinks, and so he's like, I'm not going to play into that. I'm not even going to answer it, because if I answer it, you're going to get more paranoid. Like, this. That's why this scene is so tense, like you said, when you're dealing with somebody with that much paranoia.
I'm not telling you anything. I'm going to leave. So Lenore closed, tell her I went home. I'm not staying in this nut house with you. You're a sick bastard. I feel sorry for you. I really do. You know what you should do? Try a little more fucking, a little less eating.
I think that's words of wisdom anybody
can go
by. That's
the best dieting advice I've ever heard in my life.
Understand, you fucking wacko?
Sounds like a good song. Little more fucking, a little less eating. That's the Joe Pesci way.
I like that it's a country song.
Yeah, you know.
A little bit of roots in country western. I like that. And I want to hear Joe Pesci sing it in that accent.
Right. Well, he did put out an album.
He did a Christmas special many years ago.
Vincent LaGuardia or whatever the name was. You can find it probably at Co-op Records for about $1.99 in the clearance rack. We used to have a few copies.
Probably the one that my brother sold that I bought him for Christmas when I was a teenager.
How long ago did she go upstairs and she's still making that damn bed?
They have messy sex.
No, apparently they don't because he's doing too much eating.
Oh, that's right.
You want to roll in the hay?
Who were you?
Is it my sister?
What'd you wear for that? Yeah, what'd you say?
And I like that there's no indication other than she just had some drinks with guys that she's known even longer than her husband. While, you know, sure, technically, maybe she shouldn't be hanging out with other people.
She isn't around the way girl.
Yeah.
Or whatever. She's a neighborhood girl.
But I like that they don't show that she's actually cheated on him or implied, even really, that she's doing anything wrong.
Leave it up to us.
To just make him seem like the monster he's acting like.
Get off me, you fat pig!
Did you?
No!
Now, the previous scene, what is true, Scorsese did, from what I've read from a couple places.
I love how she says, get away.
Get away.
Yeah.
Why did you fuck Joey?
Get away!
Open the door.
No.
That's where she inspired the Red Hot Chili Peppers 20 years later.
Get away, get away, get away now.
Why did you fuck them?
Do what? I didn't do anything! I fucked all of them! What do you want me to say?
What do you mean you
fuck? Who'd you fuck?
I fucked all of them. Tommy, Salvi, your brother. Oh, I sucked your brother's cock. What do you want me to say?
Well, not that.
This cock and everybody else on the fucking street, too. What do you want? You're nothing but a fat pig, selfish fool.
Like, all of this could just be her lashing out because right. She's just pissed off that she's with this abusive dick.
He busted it's down that door without an axe. Oh, that's a sting.
Or what'd she say? I missed it.
His fucking cock's bigger than yours, too.
Ooh.
So not only is it bad enough that she sang, she slept and did things with his brother, but, you know, he's a bigger man than you are.
Yeah.
And a fraction of the size. Yeah, that's... I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've threatened to stab the children at the dinner table.
I mean, I...
Actually, I can. Zero. Jackson, eat that fucking pork chop. I'm serious. I'm going to kill the dog in front of you, and it's your fault. Oh, this is fun.
Nope, I'll kill you. I'll kill you.
Uncle... Repeat. Hey, kids, say hi to Uncle Jake. I like that you can hear the chair squeak in there. Oh, and she's out. That would have been the scene that you were referring to, because that's the only time he punches her.
That was when he hits her a couple times, slaps her earlier. Is I heard it was one of either those to one of those two scenes that he actually punched her, hit her on camera, and that, you know, supposedly at the time that I heard it, she was super offended, and, you know, as she should be.
And he's sitting in the dark watching static on the TV. He's descending into madness for sure.
It's very Pink Floyd, The Wall.
Yeah, exactly. Although I was still just hearing Simon and Garfunkel in my head. Okay. If you're packing a getaway bag, what are you packing? Let's see.
This makes me think of, and it's a disaster. You didn't even pack any socks.
It's like nothing but underwear and lingerie. And he's like, where are you going? I'm going to my sister's.
Strap-ons, dildos, yeah. Handcuffs.
Her hair looks good that way. I'm not saying that she needs to get punched in the face to have her hair cascade on to her shoulders that way. But, you know, she has it, I think, to cover her face. And she's packing the pearls. And here we go. It's the typical, I didn't know what I was doing. I just got worked up. You know how I am. I didn't mean to hit you. And will she take him back?
Man, this is a rough movie to drink to.
Yeah. You have to drink to get through it. We'll be funnier next week. People, I swear.
But it helps when you either don't have respect for the drama that you're watching,
yeah,
or the movie you're watching is automatically funny.
Right.
When you respect the well-executed drama before you, it's kind of hard to drink through it and make people laugh.
I keep waiting for the crucifix to just gradually get smaller and smaller.
Right.
To where it's just a couple of toothpicks by the end of the movie, just nailed up on the wall.
With a little...
Yeah, they actually scotch taped. They can't be nailed.
With one of those little plastic parachute guys on them from the cereal boxes.
He's fighting a Frenchman. Because apparently the guy that he won the title from died.
Hmm. Really?
Yeah, he probably got fucked to death by Vicky.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Ooh.
The squirting. Oh, there we go. That is not good on your neck.
That's horrible.
And that's why those ropes are so wobbly and they have that kind of give to them.
Yeah.
Because if they were tight like a wrestling ring and he got knocked back into those, I mean, that could seriously do some neck damage.
At the very least, horrible rope burn.
Yeah. Actually, I think that's what happened to Owen Hart. When he fell from the ceiling, like, he landed on the ropes, and I think it kind of broke his neck or something. Not that falling from the ceiling of an arena is gonna not kill you anyway, but...
Yeah. And I'm not the wrestling enthusiast that right. you are. So a lot of times I don't get the wrestling.
That happened our senior year.
But that one I vaguely remember.
On a pay-per-view in Kansas City.
Yeah.
And I went to wrestling 2 days later up in the Quad Cities. And yeah, like they had a tribute for him the night before. It was a weird time. There hadn't been a wrestler died in the ring, especially during a live event. I remember watching that night, and they had to like cut away, and they still finished the show.
Now, professional wrestling, for those who don't know,
back in the day, like when this takes place, it was still thought of to be just as legitimate.
Yeah. Back when this takes place, for sure. I feel like it wasn't even until like the early 80s that people started really realizing, oh, this is a show.
Sports entertainment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, are there any sports that aren't sports entertainment that depict the level of violence as wrestling that you are actually into? Like, say, boxing?
I used to watch UFC.
Okay.
Mixed martial arts. I have a friend that actually trains MMA fighters, mm-hmm. and some of his fighters have actually gone on to get contracts with the UFC.
Nice.
He's got a gym that he runs out in Canton. He ran Co-op Records in Peoria for many years, Bob Long. And he does that. And I've gone to some live events. I used to watch the UFC back when it was essentially like modern day gladiators, like no mm-hmm. weight classes, anything goes. I used right. to watch those. And then I don't keep up with it anymore. I kind of got out of it maybe about 8 years ago. But yeah, I used to enjoy watching that. And it kind of, there's the bloody sponge.
There's the very bloody sponge.
Which is just chocolate.
Realistic.
Yep. He smells like chocolate now.
Yeah.
He's got a...
doused in chocolate syrup.
Yeah, some Nestle Quick.
So anybody who has a
rubbing it on his
fetish,
belly. Yeah.
This is the scene for you. Chocolate syrup rubbed all over
later,
De Niro.
Vicky's going to be like kissing on his belly and be like, I love the smell of the gym. Mm.
She's like, chocolate. I wish this smelled like Jim. Smelled like
who's
chocolate.
Jim?
Who the fuck is Jim?
I feel this is real footage here. The PBR.
I'll drink to that.
Yeah, cheers.
I'll drink something better to that.
Peoria Heights.
Right here, finally, is
Sugar
the
Ray
psycho
again.
Scene. This
yeah.
is what I... This is the scene that's edited to look much like the shower scene in Psycho. Shower scene in Psycho is not easy to say after a couple of beers.
It's a hard luck number. Maybe till you find another number.
Guy's got a big Q-tip in his mouth.
Sugar Ray, not aged at all. Robinson hurting LaMotta. He's hurting him now. I don't know if this is the actual call, like from the fight, and they just somehow got the rights, or if they just redubbed it to sound like it.
Repeat.
Because I would be curious to see if they took the actual broadcast and quoted it line for line. Because the line, he's got him on Queer Street, was kind of a weird thing
to say. It's a weird thing to say, yeah.
So he's just on the ropes, just begging. And like, this isn't necessarily Ali with the rope-a-dope.
And here we see Norman Bates walking up to the shower curtain, essentially.
LaMotta.
Silhouetted.
LaMotta just, he wants to be taken out.
Yeah, for those who have not been listening to what's happening in the movie, because we've been talking over it, he's just kind of sick of it. He doesn't want to do it anymore.
And uppercut, jab after jab. He's holding the ropes. He's gushing blood. Vicky can't look. Blood on every inch of his legs.
That camera looking down, like I'm recognizing these shots from Psycho.
Yeah, where's the navel shot? And
now we've seen plenty of his navel.
Yeah. The camera's clicking.
Bringing up a butcher knife.
And here we go. There's the kill shot. Spraying the front row with blood. I don't think I've ever seen that in a fight.
He's done. Referee stoppage. Honestly, should have been stopped earlier than that, I feel.
Yeah.
Both of his eyes are already swollen shut. I don't know how he can even see, but here's a famous line from the movie.
He wanted to go.
He would. Never went down.
Never went down, Ray. Unlike my wife, I never went down.
You hear me? Never got me down. Yeah? See? Look.
He doesn't know when to quit.
No, he doesn't. Even though he wanted to quit.
Yeah. Every time I watch boxing, they don't stand there with their arms at their sides. They're always blocking and covering and, yeah.
They don't say uncle so quickly.
Right.
And have a brief interview with Ray Robinson. Now we're waiting for the time to be announced. And it is being handed between the commissioner and Eddie Flick.
I think this is going to be an easy call. Here's the
camera goes to, and this is like the camera going to the newspaper. The slow track shot, and then stops on a close-up.
It looks like intestines. Miami, 1956. You know it's Miami because there's
palm trees.
Palm trees, yes. And, oh, Jake's looking heavy.
Yep. Here we have 60-pound De Niro.
Now, I heard he went on an ice cream diet.
That's what I heard. Oop. Wait.
He just...
he just said, wait.
He only drank and ate ice cream.
Ice cream and pasta is what I heard. I think it was the same diet that Benicio Del Toro went on for Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Yeah. I think we talked about that on that episode.
Mm.
That was, that was before you came on full time.
I was hanging out with Zach.
Yeah. Now, she hasn't really aged. They got an Indian kid they adopted. Right?
It looks like it. He's, yeah, their eyes open.
It's an unfortunate mole placement.
I think it's great. You know, he picked the right time to stop fighting.
Don't look at the camera, kid.
It's really good.
No way.
She's got a fortune cookie fortune in her hair.
He's like, you threw talk in for your sentence and a half. I like the hair here, too. It's kind of a Swiss miss a little bit.
Yeah.
Kind of digging it.
Kind of St. Pauli girl.
Yeah. I want to see her up in the hills like Julie Andrews. The Sound of Music, but it's not going to sound as good because she's got that Brooklyn accent. The hills are alive with the sounds of music. Yeah, I sucked his dick. I sucked that Von Trapp's dick.
I sucked all the whole family's dicks. Even his daughters.
Now, is this ad-libbed?
I don't know.
Because it's so weird, and like his reaction seems pretty natural.
Yeah.
Like he almost made himself laugh. And then that gets creepy.
This is probably De Niro just having fun with the role.
Like having the camera roll just let him go.
Yeah. I would imagine he's one of the actors that's... You're probably pretty much always going to get something completely usable from just letting him go.
Isn't that something that she brought a drink?
Salute.
She's a server. That's her job.
One of our constant drinking games when somebody drinks in the show.
Yeah, salute.
Got a drink. Drinking with Jake LaMotta.
I'll pass. I'll probably get punched by the end of the...
I don't know if there's any level of ass kissing that anyone could
He's
do
dead
to
now.
Not.
We're safe.
Oh, yeah, now.
Oddly enough,
I'd still lose.
Live to his 90s.
Yeah.
How does a guy like this live to be 90?
Yeah.
By the way, me and my wife Vicky's getting married. And what am I talking about? I'm out of here. Oh, she here?
Now, Fat De Niro reminds me of somebody, and I've been trying to figure out who it is.
Like someone you know, or
no, like another actor. It's partially the hair. I don't know if it's Albert Brooks or what it is.
One was married, one was single.
I could see Albert Brooks, John Favreau, maybe.
Yeah, maybe Favreau.
I could see both of those. Yeah, heavy Favreau.
Swingers Favreau. So he dressed as Vince Vaughn and John Favreau in the same movie.
Although I think that there's one scene in Swingers where he's walking around in an undershirt, and I think he was actually just really
buff. Yeah, he was kind of...
He carries his muscle in a heavy way.
He was thick.
Yeah, he was thick.
I guess heavy Favreau is more like Iron Man.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty much today, Favreau. Yeah. Did you see Chef?
Oh, loved it.
Freaking great movie. Freaking what am I?
Freaking. We have the explicit
flipping great.
We've been talking about sucking dick all episode, and you can't say fuck.
But if he fought Sugar Ray, he would say...
Oh, this is where he tries to be Ali.
Ain't the ring.
Bada bing.
It's the play.
What do you say?
So give me a stage. Where this bully...
When I play D&D, I'm a mage.
No, I can fight.
That's a thing, right? I never played D&D.
I know it was Final Fantasy. I don't know about D&D or
that's
not.
Entertainment. that's Cannibal. A song. That's a song by The Jam. I don't think that's what he's singing. That's entertainment. All right, I'm going to go spill some drinks on some people. Oh, yeah, this is cringy.
There's even a line here where somebody else repeats themselves, and he says he's repeating himself. He's getting a little senile.
Yeah.
Which I thought about using at the end of De Niro.
Yeah.
There it is. I almost used that at the end of De Niro, but it sounded like I was making fun of him, and I didn't want that impression because I actually am paying tribute to the man.
It's next week we got the shakedown payments, right?
This tie looks like a couch from the 1970s.
That is a joke.
Yeah. Nervous laughter, like not in smile.
A lot of Dr. Hubbard laughter. He's just kidding, right?
He's really a nice guy. You can take a joke.
Oh, let me rub your tits. I'll dry it off.
Hey, Carlo. Carlo, give me another drink. Something happened over here.
I happened.
Carlo, Linda, come here.
I feel like maybe Donald Trump is just drunk Jake LaMotta.
You think so?
Like, that was very Trumpian to me.
Did he talk about... he didn't say pussy.
No, he said cunt a lot in this movie, that's but true. He hasn't said pussy.
Well, there's really not a problem.
Oh, she got a beehive.
So I just had to ask for some idea.
Okay, now, I've been to clubs.
21.
I have never had my ID checked this way.
Prove it to me.
Like, I go and I buy beer, and they're like, can I see your ID? And I'll be like, can't you want me to prove you? I'll prove it to you. Come here. Come here, cashier at Hy-Vee.
If you do that to the bouncer, you'll really see trouble. The bouncer's like, can I see some ID? Sure, I'll prove it to you.
And then they got David Lee Roth singing in the background.
Or Steven Tyler.
Yeah.
She's 21 too.
She has convinced me. She's 21 too.
Okay. Now this is pretty impressive.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
That looks like an expensive ass bottle of champagne too, because look at that label.
Yeah,
I can't. It looks old.
It looks weathered for what is this now? 1967.
That's not Winkin' Owl. They didn't buy that at Aldi.
Yeah, watch
one. Your wife's outside. She heard you were making out with a couple 21-year-olds.
So they say.
And he's just, five glasses of champagne stacked on top of each other, doing a little fountain work there.
I wonder if this was real. Probably not. I'm sure it's just prop champagne glasses.
He's breathing kind of. Oh, he's joking.
It's hard to tell with him.
He looks a little slow.
The guy over the shoulder to the right reminds me of somebody. I don't know what. Like Alex Ross Joker or something.
Okay, so this is all going on in the daytime? Is that what we're... Or did he make her sit out there for hours?
I think this is the next morning.
Because she's blocking the exits, if so.
She has 5 parking tickets right now.
Yeah, what do you want? Get on with it.
Everything all right?
I'm leaving, Jake.
All right, what else?
No, I mean it this time. I didn't want to tell you until I had everything worked out.
She's kind of Kathleen Turner-ish, right?
Yeah. Yeah, what? I can totally see that.
Open the door.
No,
Come on, honey, open the door.
No, look, Jake, I got a lawyer. We're getting a divorce.
Which, again,
custody of the kids.
It's great in your 20s and 30s, but then it seems like you hit 40 and you age three decades instantly.
Yeah.
Because it is, I think, a hard living is how you get that look and sound.
That sultry, sexy,
yeah,
you know, confident.
And it's not just
when you're 18.
It happens to guys too. That's why Ray Liotta looks like he does now.
Well, I don't know.
Ray Liotta was a good looking guy.
On Clint Eastwood are, but Clint Eastwood,
yeah,
his handsomeness, I don't think lasted real long.
Yeah,
that you know, Jack Palance.
Yeah,
you know that sort of, you know,
Jack Palance really did one armed push ups on stage.
That's true. Oscars. During the Oscars,
he was still a badass.
He was. You know?
City slickers, man.
But he looked that would sounded pretty weathered. Yeah. The difference is men are allowed to do it and still seem attractive
by, yeah,
you know, society standards. When it happens to women, not so much.
Right. A lot of women always say that men get better looking with age, but there are definitely some that prove that is not the case.
Right.
Oh, she was 14? Well, you know, I married a 16-year-old, so...
So what's the big deal?
I'm not a good judge of character, as you can see.
She says you introduced her to some men.
What?
I introduced her to men. I introduced a lot of people to a lot of people. You tell me I introduced her to men.
Lots of people say lots of things about New York.
She introduced me to her tongue, you know what I mean? Hey, Mama Luke.
She's 14. Oh!
She's how old? 14. She's 14, let me see.
I don't think this argument will hold up in court.
It's another De Niro trope that I like is looking at somebody and then like doing a like almost 180 degree turn to this head as they give him something or somehow interact with him.
Come on, we gotta go.
I'll agree. That doesn't look like a 14-year-old, but no. His wife didn't look 16 either.
Yeah.
Vicky, open the door. I'm out on bail. I just got to pick up one thing.
And I have a teenage daughter who wears makeup. And I've seen her with all the makeup, and I can still tell what age she is.
Yeah.
What? Don't make no noise.
I don't think that's going to happen.
What are you doing?
I got to get $10,000. My lawyer says if I can spread $10,000 around, I can get the case dropped.
Yeah, but they're not a case.
She just wanders around in a robe a lot, it seems. He also needs to get some new shirts.
New shirts?
Yeah, his belly's hanging out.
Yeah, new wallpaper, too.
Well, that's up to her now.
Well, can't you get the money from your friends?
Yeah, what friends?
Jim, you're gonna wake my kids up, Jake.
Oh, so that means she was fucking around. They're not his.
Uh-huh.
You're gonna wake up my kids.
Could be.
One's your brothers. One is little Joe with the gimpy leg. The other is Snakes. What about the belt?
Snakes. I don't know nobody named Snakes. Another great Joe Pesci movie.
Yeah, but where's the belt? The belt of a champion is a very rare item. I wish he'd come to me in the first place.
Maybe coming soon.
And his De Niro's disappointment face is pretty consistent, too. 1,500 top.
That's all I need to do. Yeah, he's like, dude, why did you think I would want a destroyed belt? You could have just brought this in.
Yeah.
It's like a Super Bowl ring and you like melt it down for the gold.
Right.
It's like, no, I want the Super Bowl ring. Nice. Ooh, gut shot.
More navel.
She's not kissing that belly button.
I tried a lot of places.
Oh, there. All right, three-peat.
And what am I going to do? That's what they're going to do. They're going to do. What can I do?
Oh, that's a lot of doing.
It's a lot of, yeah. But
fuck them. I don't do what they're going to do.
And what they're going to do is rough him up in jail. So, let this be a word of warning to any of you. Don't make out with a 14-year-old in your nightclub. Always check ID.
Yeah. Yeah.
We live in that day and age, I think, that shouldn't happen.
Yeah. And I think that that's in the correct order of things you shouldn't do.
Yeah.
One, you shouldn't make out with a 14-year-old.
Definitely don't make out with a 14-year-old.
Always check ID.
Unless you're like 15 and you're listening to this, but if you are, you're not our target demo here.
Actually, I was 15 the first time I saw Raging Bull,
really?
So maybe.
Okay.
I don't know. It depends
You know what? If you're 15, you do you. But most of our listeners are not.
Oh, here's a great one.
Fuck you! Fuck you!
I'll drink to
there
a,
we go.
A fuck you repeat. There's actually
Mama's Mamas.
Not to keep advertising De Niro, but there's a great string of fuck you from different movies. He's done that a few times in just a few movies that
I've
watched.
You can subscribe. It's like all one long word on YouTube. Drunk at the Movies is where we put up the trailers for our episodes that Seth edits and puts together each week. But you have another page.
Yeah.
That you put a lot more of your comedy stuff. Where can people find that?
That is just called Binge Comedy. It's a YouTube comedy channel that I recently started, so it doesn't have a lot of content on it right now, but it's got enough to check out if you got a few minutes to kill and want to watch some funny videos.
This makes me uncomfortable.
This is just...
He's repeating the whole scene. He just keeps saying the same word over and over. Are those... That's a padded cell.
I mean, that's a realistic looking... I mean, I think he's supposed to be punching cement. And I don't know what they use as a prop, but this looks like he's giving it his all to a wall, and it's not moving at all. Like, I'm guessing he hurt himself.
Well, where he's smacking his head is in shadows. So
that might be slightly padded.
Maybe. I would hope.
Yeah.
I believe this more. Yeah, my hands... After you've just beat them to shit.
And he just keeps repeating, you're so stupid, because he clearly hates himself. So these are the scenes that couldn't make it in De Niro, because it was just too dramatic.
It is. It's the comedy. All repeated.
Man repeating, I'm not that bad, as he's crying in a jail cell because he's ruined his own life.
Oh, this isn't funny to you?
I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just this one scene alone, I think, is how De Niro deserved an Oscar for this. I love this scene. And that makes you feel uncomfortable kind of way.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, when do we get dinner?
Nice shot of his shoulder, Scorsese.
Yeah, right?
Who lit this scene? Jeez.
Look who's here. Big mouth. Not a whole neighbor don't know.
1958, New York. Spread it around a
little bit. So now
he's now at a bar.
He is
not his own.
Yeah, no longer owning a nightclub. No longer married to Vicky. Has a record of somehow sexually assaulting a 14-year-old girl. Trying to make it in a comedy club where nobody respects him anymore, and things aren't going real well for old Jake.
Fuck you and the horse you rode in on. The whole cavalry behind you.
The guy at the drums is supposed to be doing rim shots. He's not holding up his
but
end.
The stick's down. Not even.
Give me another drink.
Have the sticks in his hand.
I feel like I'm at the jukebox open mic night right now.
I gotta introduce a woman that's made a worldwide tour with top billing and all that other bullshit, and they all hated her. And I want you all to give her a warm welcome. I know you're all capable of it. You look like a bunch of junkies. Her name is Emma 48.
Shouldn't it be like Emma double D's or something? Like, what are the 48s?
I don't know.
Because, like, I'm just going to say 48, that cannot be her chest measurement because 48's kind of big.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the 48 is. It's not her waist size.
And if you want to get creative and imaginative, there's a lot of ways 48 could be drummed up as a number.
The crazy 88s. That's from Kill Bill.
Yes, it is. I was actually thinking that, too.
Oh, tuna salad for 75 cents?
Honey, listen, I'm gonna take a little walk. I got a couple of...
So he's with Emma 48.
Yeah.
He's giving her some money and sending her off.
They live together, so...
But he doesn't seem to be concerned that she's going to go fuck anybody. I think he's over it at this point.
I think
like, if she still wants to fuck me, great.
She's not the trophy wife he once had.
I didn't even recognize this as being Pesci.
Yeah.
Immediately. He's got a stash.
Mm-hmm.
So that's different. But I believe he also slimmed down even more.
Yeah. During the time that De Niro was gaining his weight, Pesci was losing his for this scene specifically. And you can see it.
Does he look taller?
Yeah, maybe he's in platform shoes, too.
Because I thought Pesci was a lot shorter than De Niro, but they really don't look that far.
And I don't think De Niro is that tall. I think he's like, 5'9 or 5'10 or something.
Yeah, that's how tall I am. Definitely not what you would call a tall person.
Come on, Joey, huh? Come on, don't sleep.
I don't even know who you are. Oh, you're my brother. You're fat now. I didn't recognize you.
Come on, you're my brother. You're French. Yeah, you fucking bum. Give me a break.
I know I deserve it. Remember that show? Mel Carter?
Give me a break.
Yeah, little Joey Lawrence with a bowl cut.
Oh, yeah. It was like his first thing.
And then he showed up in, what was it? Poltergeist? Blossom. No, he wasn't the boy in Poltergeist.
No, the boy in Poltergeist was...
For some reason, I was picturing a Lawrence brother. No, he was in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. No, that was his brother. That was Matthew Lawrence.
Yeah, I think...
the fuck? Well, I don't Joey, know what Joey what did between before Give Me a Blossom. Break and
Blossom.
Whoa.
Now, I know everybody was expecting us to do Planes, Trains, and Automobiles for Thanksgiving, but we did that last year.
Oh, okay.
With Daryl and Groucho. It was a very popular episode, and we encourage you on Thanksgiving to go back and listen to that again when you watch it. I watch it every year, and I think I'll listen along while I watch it this year. I did that for The Crow.
Yeah.
We recorded one of those last year. Watched that on Devil's Night, usually. Rod Serling. Shakespeare, Tennessee Williams, and Bud Schulberg, I'm not familiar with. But he's doing The Twilight Zone, apparently.
I guess. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Jake LaMotta at 40,000 feet.
You remember that scene in the back of the car with his brother Charlie?
And we're back to the beginning of the movie, correct? Man, Kleenex boxes were really big.
It wasn't him, Charlie. It was you.
And this is something that Jake LaMotta actually did.
Like being like an MC?
He would just to make a living, because he still had kind of a name, would go just repeat lines from movies. Just, you know, he just was looking for material. And I think that he didn't do this specific speech, but they took some artistic liberties. I think I remember reading that. And they made this the speech that he delivers.
You reach, and then it's downhill.
And it's all downhill from here.
It was my brother.
You fucked my wife.
You should have looked out for me a little bit. You should have looked out for me just a little bit.
Oh, no, he changed it. He had to adjust.
I'll take it.
Instead of making me take them dice for the short end money. You don't understand.
Don't look at the camera.
I could have had class.
I could have been a contender.
I could have been somebody. Instead of a bum, which is what
And we are polishing off our growler of Mike Tyson's voice.
In good time, too, because we're very close to the end of this.
Yeah. And like I said, film. If this was a super heavy-hitting stout, there's no fucking way we would be drinking a whole growler of this. But it is. It's like a sessionable stout.
Yeah, I never got around to saying this is a really good stout.
And like a lot of stouts, I like drinking it immediately when it's still cold. But... since we've just had it next to us, it does warm up, and you get the chocolate flavor comes out big time as it acclimates to the temperature. I drank a beer there yesterday that was a Norwegian farmhouse that was made with cedar, and I drank half of it cold, and then I finished my other beers, and I went back and revisited it, and it was a totally different beer after it had warmed up a little bit, which, you know, that's what's fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's like getting two drinks in one.
Oh, okay. The Raging Bull. I'm the boss. Is that what he's saying?
Mm-hmm.
Boss. And there we go.
So that is...
So, for the second time, the Pharisees... Didn't take me that long to read it.
Gotta go slower next time.
Summoned the man who had been blind and said, "Speak the truth before God. We know this fellow is a sinner." "Whether or not he is a sinner, I do not know," the man replied. "All I know is this. Once I was blind, and now I can see." Jake LaMotta. Oh, no. John 9... 24 through 26, the New English Bible. And then Marty put a thing up there for his teacher.
Yes, who he said was his inspiration during the filming and editing of this movie.
"You're the meaning in my life. You're the inspiration.
This didn't contain any music other than this Italian composer.
Dude, Miss 48s is related to you. Rita Bennett.
Hey, Rita Bennett.
You know her? Is that your aunt?
I don't think so.
Oh, you should do some investigating.
Surprisingly popular last name.
And go to like ancestry.com.
I did that. If Rita is from Europe, it's like almost completely just Europe-based. A little bit of Northern Indian. And then a little bit of, you know, Scandinavia, which is still Europe.
Yeah, that's where a lot of my people came from.
She's German-Irish, then maybe there's something there.
All right. Well, that is Raging Bull. Again, we assume you guys have seen this. And if not, you're going to have a lot of stuff in your head when you finally sit down and watch it. But, it's one of the all-time great movies.
Does it hold up today? What do you think watching it?
I think so. It was more impactful in 1980. I mean, this movie is as old. Older than me and as old as you.
Just about a week and a half younger than me.
Yeah, it's a great movie still. But I can say that I do see a little bit of age on it. But by no means is it like a tough sit.
I think his decision to shoot it in black and white and approach it as a period piece helped make it rather timeless. I think that, you know, because anybody like who's, I don't know, in their teens, early 20s today, if they watch this movie, they might actually go, wait, this was made...
Moira Kelly? Production office coordinator? I don't think that can't be the same Moira Kelly.
Could be. Maybe that's how she got her start in Hollywood.
She would have been too young.
That's true. But I think that people who aren't that familiar with the history of film or when this was made and other films made, you know, in black and white might be confused like, whoa, was this just ahead of its time for the 1950s or 60s? Or was this shot to be like in black and white? And I think that helps make it a timeless film.
And the credits just answered one of my questions.
Which was?
That was audio footage from one of the fights.
Okay.
It did say that in the... in the credits, so there we go.
It's nice to know that Paul Schrader did not write Queer Street into the script.
Sweet Dick Whittington.
That's a great nickname.
Sweet. No, that's actually his Christian name.
His parents put the parentheses on his birth certificate just to...
Well, we're going to finish up our Mike Tyson's voice while these credits roll. And we have a closing credit song for you guys to enjoy, like we always do. And this is from a band that the voice of you actually have heard before on our Psycho episode. We played a band called Neon Horse, and that featured Mark Solomon on vocals. And the reason I was a fan of his voice is from his other main band, Stavesacre. And we're going to play a song from them. They were formed in 1995 with vocalist Mark Solomon, guitarist Jeff Ballou, drummer Jeffrey Moffitt, and bassist Dirk Leminis, and they were a heavy and leaning toward hardcore, metal, and thrash. They were kind of a CCM supergroup. They were all in previous bands. This is another group that played Cornerstone in the past, and they were on Tooth & Nail Records. They actually just had a new record come out last year, and it was a surprise to me. I didn't know they were working on new material, but I was super, super stoked. And this song that we're going to play is called Bull Takes Fighter. Again, kind of an appropriate song. And this is from 2004 off of the Bull Takes Fighter EP. So here we go. It's Stavesacre with Bull Takes Fighter here on Drunk at the Movies. Yeah.
Thank you to both One Bad Son and Stavesaker for giving us permission to play those songs. I'm actually Facebook friends with three quarters of Stavesaker now. It's kind of weird and kind of cool. So yeah, we appreciate you guys letting us share your music. We appreciate Bearded Owl, of course, for supporting and sponsoring this show, providing us with beer and also the financial compensation it takes to continue releasing this show for free for you guys to enjoy. All you gotta do, look up Drunk at the Movies on your favorite podcast app, like, rate, subscribe, leave us a review. If we get some new written out reviews, we'll probably read them on an upcoming episode. So be sure to do that. Let us know what you think of the new kind of rebranding of the show. We're in our third month now. You kind of know what to expect since the reboot, and we've got a lot of... We literally have the show planned out
for like the next
halfway in the next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's nothing but great movies on the way, and we'll probably come up with some new surprises for you as well. Seth, did you enjoy watching Raging Bull today?
Yes, I did. I always enjoy watching Raging Bull. This is... it's actually one of my favorite movies. I don't have like an actual list, top 10 or anything, but it's up there with one of my favorite films.
Excellent. Well, that was Raging Bull. That is going to wrap up our December of 1980 theme for the month, but we're going to be coming back next week with a special episode. It's the day before Thanksgiving. We are going to watch a movie for November 21st. Thanksgiving is on the 22nd this year. It's a dinner party-esque movie with a twist.
One of my favorite Thanksgiving films. I watch this every year for Thanksgiving.
And we are going to watch Clue. I was really looking forward to this one. I had not seen it in years. I sat down and rewatched it and remembered way more of it than I expected to. I watched it a lot as a kid.
It's definitely a repeat viewing film.
I never owned it.
I had it on like a blank VHS tape.
Okay.
And then once like DVDs came out in high school, I hadn't seen it since. So yeah, I really enjoyed it, and I'm looking forward to sitting down, having some beers, and visiting our friends from the board game Clue. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this week. I am Dustin.
I am Seth.
And you don't have to be drunk to enjoy Raging Bull, but it doesn't hurt. We'll see you next time.